Okay, this is the Unnamed Movie Name Podcast, also known as The Ump. I am your host, Ali, and I'm with...
James Campbell. Wait, did you say the Unnamed Movie Names
Podcast? No, Movie Name Podcast.
Okay, I thought it was just the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
I know, I thought it had more for jizz.
Jizz, I think you might need to...
jizz. I had a pizzazz.
The Unnamed Movie Named Podcast.
Movie Name Podcast.
The Unnamed Movie Name Podcast. That makes no sense.
Okay, the movie named, okay?
I'll live with that. I'm James, and this is the Unnamed Movie Name Podcast.
Yeah.
Where we talk about movies.
Hopefully in a very articulate manner, but I don't think that'll actually...
Clear and concise.
Okay, so what were you talking about? So we were just, before we started recording, we were talking about accents. So actually, please tell me, what is wrong with my accent?
There's nothing wrong with it. I would like to know if anyone could work out what accent Malik has, because I know where he's from. I just don't think he has a strong accent.
First of all, I'm known as Ali on the podcast.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
I just said we're the host. I'm the host.
Why
are you
known as Ali on the podcast?
Because my name is Ali. I actually don't like people calling me Malik.
Oh, that's, you know what's really annoying? Because...
What?
When I first started knowing you, I called you Ali.
Yeah.
And I much preferred that name. And then everyone started calling you Malik by the third year I knew you. And then now you're going back to Ali.
Was I in hiding for like 2 years later?
I don't know what happened, but you want to be called Ali now.
I want to be called Ali. I think it's just...
I might give you a nickname. I might call you Toad of Toad Hall.
Cool, I say.
Don't worry, it's not important.
Okay, we'll talk about why... I don't want to talk about... I just like to be called Ali, okay? I think Malik is, like, too much a serious name for me, I think. It doesn't suit me, I think, you know?
I think you're right, actually. Also, Malik does sound like a big, strong black man. Which you are certainly not.
No, I am big, yes. Yeah. I am a brown, actually.
You are brown.
I'm very brown.
We don't know how strong you are.
You know, so... Hey, I'm pretty strong, okay?
Okay, that's good.
I've got some...
You got muscles.
Hiding.
I think we might be veering off our original... We were talking about accents.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about the nature of our voices. And whether they suit a podcast. I don't think that Ali has a strange voice. I just think that his accent's hard to define. I would like to know what accent he thinks he has.
I just think I have a normal London accent.
A normal accent.
Well, not a Cockney one, but just like... just a simple... It's nothing... It's okay. It's not too posh, but it's not too Cockney. It's just in the middle, and I don't think that... I mean, I think people have that kind of accent. I think they do.
Yeah, but you've got kind of like, there's an air about it which makes you consider whether you're not, it's hard to decide whether you're London or not. There's certain words you can tell, but I can't say them before you say them, otherwise you'll say them. So let me type them out and I'll see what you say.
Okay, fine.
So, wait.
What are you doing?
Say this word.
Dance.
Okay, fair enough. Say this word.
Bath.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not arguing with shit.
If you had said dance and bath, then you wouldn't...
I don't say that.
I've never taken you for a dance or a bath, so I didn't know that. okay, those are the two best examples. It's fine. You said that in a very Southern England way, so that's fine. You have a London accent. That's the end of it.
No
more discussion.
So, what were we meant to talk about?
Okay, so we're meant to be talking about X-Men.
No, okay, so because we have nothing relevant to actually talk about.
That's the last film that both you and I have both seen. So I think that's the best for the Unnamed Movie Named Podcast. It's the best way to start.
Okay, that's fine. Because I wanted to talk about news, but I actually did not check any... Well, I checked a bit of news.
What, movie news?
Yeah, but there wasn't anything interesting, was there?
The only movie news I can say is from trailers I've seen.
Yeah.
And...
What trailers have you seen?
The trailer that sticks in my mind is the Captain America trailer, because I saw it in the last two films I last saw.
Oh, what movies did you see the last two films?
Last one was X-Men and Thor.
Okay, cool. We'll talk about that in a bit because that's coming up anyway. Okay, cool. I mean, I haven't seen the latest Captain America trailer, but like I've seen like you know the original one. The 2 minute one or whatever, it was like a couple of months ago.
Okay.
And you know, that's pretty cool, you know. And I think Chris Evans looks like the perfect fit for it. Basically, the only issue I have is that the girl seems a bit of a bitch. Because, you know, the girl in the trailer, again, she shoots him with the shield.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of, like, bitchy. I mean, you shoot a guy who has a shield. I mean, she could have killed him, or she could have killed someone else.
She was testing out the shield.
You could test it out in a controlled environment.
It's a film. It's not a health and
safety. I'm just saying she's a bit of a bitch. Yeah, I'm just saying
she's for entertainment.
She just came out of a bit of a bitch at that trailer.
I think that's a little bit misogynistic that you see 2 seconds of a woman and you call her a bitch.
Okay, I'll call him man, I'll call him a bastard, so I guess...
But you're not calling him a bastard.
Well...
And he shoots people in the trailer. People die.
Well, we don't actually see him shooting people and they die. I think he's a really bad shoot. I actually think he just punches a lot of people out. That's what I think.
Well, we'll have to wait and see if Captain America's a film exclusively of punching people out.
Exclusively.
I would enjoy that. He does
have a shield.
A tale about how a man is a bad shot, so he has to punch everyone. He does have a shield.
Yeah, but I think and in the trailer you can see he uses the shield to hit someone at least.
Yeah, I think. Wait, let's talk about this later. We're talking about absolute shortness. I would like to talk about X-Men.
X-Men.
It's in my mind.
Okay, cool. What did you think about X-Men First Class?
I think, like a lot of comic book films, I liked it, but it's really easy to find flaws in these kind of films.
Yeah.
And those are the kind of things that I felt like stuck in my mind.
Uh-huh.
But I think, you know, after I watched X-Men 3 and Wolverine, any improvement to X-Men films was needed, and it definitely was an improvement.
Well, I'm just going to say, just before we actually go a bit further in, this could be spoilers, so if you haven't seen it, even though it's been released like 3 weeks ago, well, no, 2 weeks ago now, you know, so watch out so don't, you know, get upset if we ruined it for you.
I love spoiling things.
Yeah, no, we've got to talk about some of the plot, and then there's some issues I have that, you know, just with the movie, you know, okay, I think he's about to die. Anyway, we're scrambling. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so what I thought about X-Men was kind of the same as you. I mean, actually, I didn't care for Wolverine or Last Stand. Like, I did not care what was going to happen in First Class to me because the act was completely different. And what it looked like was going to offer... they're saying it's not a reboot. It's meant to tie with the other films.
Yeah.
But it felt like a reboot to me anyway. Like, you look at the trailers, you look at the feel of it, it seems like he's trying to be gritty, a bit more realistic.
Comic book films have changed since the Batmans, so they had it had to be a reboot of sorts in style.
Though, the style's not that much different.
I think it is, but
I think the main difference is because they've set it, because it's a period film.
Yeah.
I feel like they push quite a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, so let's talk about some of the period stuff. Like, I actually loved James McAvoy as Xavier. Because, you know, like, he's actually the character, you know, I'm saying you know a lot.
I swore, it's very annoying.
Yeah, I can swear. But I was saying, with James McAvoy, he was doing a, you know, really good job with his, you know, talk, you know, when he was saying... groovy, and I thought that worked in the film's context because obviously that is what you gotta get in the film.
I think that I thought it was good to go back in the past and try and make it periody, and it's a period like kind of the 60s has kind of got a boost because of the Mad Men thing, but my main issue was that it just sometimes it can come off as a bit cheesy, and like, so to try and shoehorn mutants into like an historical event, put it in a period, and then ignore the rest of the history that's going on around that time doesn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah.
Why put X-Men in the 60s and not bring up like the civil rights movement?
It doesn't
make any sense.
That massively pissed me off because, like, and we were talking about this before, like, the point is, right?
McAvoy is meant to be Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where X-Men came from. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of it, but I always knew that's what the point was. Mm-hmm. And Magneto was Malcolm X.
Yep.
And the thing is, they fuck off the ethnic minority. And it's just like, I don't know if they've done it on purpose, on purpose, or they've done it because they are all white people and they had no idea what was going on. I mean, I don't be racist, but it just felt like that. I mean, I'm a brown guy, you're a black guy, and we could be like, say, they just done a token black guy, just like, and the, okay, when Angel just changes sides. And
just
and
like that, because black people were evil.
She wasn't meant to be black. She was meant to be Latino.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
she you know she's Lenny Kravitz's daughter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she's actually half black, half Jew.
Exactly, really?
Because both her mum and dad are half black and half Jew.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, Jewish. Okay. Sorry, I should not say Jew. That's no, kind of offensive way it? To say. It. You is should it? Say Jewish.
Oh,
because you're
Jewish.
A Jewish person. You're not a Jew. That's
oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, you don't want to fuck around with Magneto being a
exactly,
Jew.
Yeah, I thought that was probably some of the funner parts of the film. Magneto almost doing his kind of Nazi hunter business. That's what I enjoyed.
Mm, yeah,
I think there could have been a bit more of it.
Yeah,
and then when it actually, I enjoyed it when he. There's a scene when he's in Paris with a bank manager, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah,
and then when he actually found some Nazis, I was slightly disappointed
mm-hmm.
because it felt a little bit rushed, and I'm not really sure. But I heard the original plan was that they were going to do a film that focused completely on Magneto.
Yeah, the orange
hunting.
yeah,
but it didn't work out.
See, I want to focus on that part as well with Magneto. What I liked, so I liked the first scene actually, the Paris scene. I loved that the pace of that scene and the tone. Like, it just took its time taking that guy's filling out, and it looked painful. And the camera shot was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, through his mouth, it was kind of comic but still very intense.
Mm-hmm.
Something like, well, it wasn't good as Old Boy scene, like, you know, when he pulls out the teeth.
Yeah.
But obviously, and you can't get it that good. But you know, Fassbender done an awesome job. And then the funny thing is, it's kind of like when he goes to that bar, it's obviously, you know, and a lot of people said it's like a sequel to the scene in Inglourious Basterds when he's a German guy.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue I actually had, the massive issue I actually had with that scene was because in the trailer, they show the scene where he pulls a knife from the guy and stabs the guy's hand.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's in the trailer. Yeah, okay, because in the trailer, and I thought that looked awesome.
Yeah.
And in the movie, they disrupt the flow of that action scene mm-hmm. because what happens is I'm trying to recall now. He gets a knife from the guy with mm-hmm. when it says blood and honor. He stabs the other guy who's about to shoot him.
Yeah.
Then he takes it back. Then he hits him. But you know, I would have liked it if they just had that one moment, mm-hmm. you know, and just made that really intense rather than have this like. He kind of just took that little momentum out when he mm-hmm. stabs a guy, then throws it, comes to takes the knife back and stabs him. I know it's very picky, but it's just because in the trailer it looked awesome. And I mean, I think that's the fault with trailers anyway, you know.
Yeah.
They always take something out of context, make it look more amazing than it is, and then.
I've got a new rule with trailers. If the trailer looks awful, the film will be okay. If the trailer looks good, the film will be awful.
Yeah, like my Green Lantern thing. I'll talk about it. I mean, actually. See, like, we're talking about these flaws, and these flaws really fucking bothered me when they came out, you know. Like, another issue had, and, you know, this is an issue with the X-Men... Well, it's not an issue, it's nowhere an issue, but X-Men 2 had the allegory of homosexuality, you know, with Iceman coming out to his family being a mutant, and his mom says, can you stop being a mutant?
Yep.
You know, that's a very typical
mm-hmm.
gay, you know, gay mom and dad mm-hmm. kind of issue. And... But I think, you know, when we talk about civil rights, they could have easily done that. They could have had those issues, and they didn't. They brought in that stupid Mystique line, you gotta be mutant and proud. Like, that wanted me to rip my ears out. Like,
every time that was said, it made me cringe. And I don't know what it was about it that made me... It just... I don't think it worked. I thought... I didn't think the actress that played Mystique was very good, personally.
Okay.
I wasn't... I think one of... Maybe... I don't think a lot of the acting, apart from maybe James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, maybe the actress that plays Moira was very good. Everyone had like a brief snippet to do nothing.
Yeah.
And so no one really shone, but she was in there a lot, doing a lot of schmaltzy stuff. And firstly, Mystique isn't the schmaltzy character. She's someone that does gymnastics and stabs people.
She's cold.
Yeah.
And you don't see that being developed.
You don't see that at all.
I mean, okay, I know we're focusing a lot on the negative part, but because there are some other issues that I think could really help improve the movie and probably the next two movies that will come out of it. But to positive, so obviously we talk about Fassbender and McAvoy, and I thought the action overall was good, besides the Angel Spain fireballs that almost looked like a Bollywood movie from the 80s because the way she was flying, she was like, she was flying and it just yellow stuff just comes out of her mouth. And I was about to just laugh. I thought that was. Oh, and okay, another good stuff is the girls are really hot. Like,
yeah, that's true. But
Oh god. I mean, I'm trying to avoid talking about the negative. There is some good. I do like the part where they do involve the Cuban Missile Crisis part. Yeah. It's it gets that. I mean, they fuck up a bit of the story. I think they could have had brought a lot more out of it.
Yeah.
But I like the feel of the CIA in a way, in the sense not CIA, but the whole Doctor Strangelove part, where they're all just like surrounding that table, and it's clearly, it's clearly like they changed the tone of it in a very, very odd way. And that's, that's an issue. I know, I think it is an issue. I think it's a problem, sadly, because, I mean, I actually prefer when a movie changes tone, because I think that's what even life is. I mean, life isn't a drama. I mean, life is tons of, a realistic life is tons of comedy moments and tons of dramatic and everything, but in a movie, in this movie anyway, because it just takes itself so seriously, when those cheesy moments come out, they really stand out. Because it's kind of like Batman Begins, Batman Begins done that, or Dark Knight done that, in the sense you have these serious actors really believing in their character moments, and then suddenly someone just says, to be honest, Dark Knight has those issues as well, if you think about it, with the, you're the Dark Knight, I'm the White Knight. It's clearly telling you the theme of the story. But the problem with the Dark Knight was it was highly convoluted when the first one watches, so you need that dialogue to actually settle in your brain, or you wouldn't get that. Whereas in this, I don't think you need that. You can clearly see that immunes are not wanted. Like, that's it. With the Dark Knight and White Knight, it's about a city, it's about a community, and it's about politics, which is a lot more. I mean, there's a lot more, there's a lot more grey area to that, in my opinion, whereas with race, there isn't. Or with, any kind of shitting on people with their different lifestyles, And that's, again, but with the X-Men, so we talk about tone.
I think why we're focusing on the negatives is because I think we both enjoyed it. You enjoyed it.
I did enjoy it.
The problem was, when you see a good film that you like, but there's... So it's a really good idea that they could have done a lot with, but unfortunately they missed out some obvious things, and that's why I feel we're focusing on the negatives. I really want to say something positive. I did like Michael Fassbender's acting when he didn't occasionally have an Irish accent.
my brothers,
I thought I was at a U2 concert. But I did like James McAvoy, and I thought it was a good idea to try and link in some real world things. And it's just those most immediate things that distracted me. I want to go back to your point about the women. Yes, they were attractive, but it's also a shame that every woman had to, be in their underwear at some
point. Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, I know it's being misogynistic, I apologize, but because I think that's the most positive I can say, definitely about January Jones. I think she's good in Mad Men. I do. I think the role she plays is fine. And it's really weird because, she was in American Wedding, whatever it was. The third American Pie.
Okay, then. Yeah,
she was the girl that Stifler goes out with at the end of it.
You have an amazing memory.
I do. Because I think she was always hot, the thing. Mm-hmm. So, but the thing was, she was actually, alive in that movie. She actually smiled, and She had a personality, even if it was brief, and, you know, you could think American Wedding is crap, that's fine. But in this, she's hollow. She is just like, she is a vacuum of charisma.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to sleep. I mean, well, thinking about that image, but still sleep, you know. That moment when she's like seducing the Russian guy, it's like, it's meant to be like funny, and you're meant to, but you're also meant to say, you know, you're meant to admire that she's hot there, but I was just like, this just feels weird. It feels like he's actually having sex with a sex doll.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean, because that's how much of a vacuum she was. And you can, that I think sometimes that is fault of writing. You can write, and there's issues with writing, but like we talk about Mutant and Proud, and they, you know, can't stop talking about James McAvoy keeps saying, "Oh, I hope I don't lose my hair." Like, we get you're gonna be bald.
So annoying.
We get it. I'm just happy that Magneto didn't say at the start, "I hope I don't get a helmet." I hope I don't get a crazy helmet that I have to put on my head. I'm just thankful that that didn't come along too much. And okay, one thing I did love. Really, really loved was Kevin Bacon. Like, that guy hammed it up. Like, I think he was in a, he wasn't even in a 60s movie, it was, but he's still in a 70s movie. He's like that kind of like a Bee Gees kind of guy. Like, you know, like he's like all funky and crazy.
Yeah, I thought I wouldn't like Kevin Bacon, but I did actually quite like him.
I just wish there's like a bass line at the back, like a boop. Or, you know, just like, damn it. You know, like, it was like some kind of James Brown music at the back. Cause it was just, cause the way he's like walking around and just telling people what he was doing.
Yeah.
Cause that's the funny thing. He was giving a lot of exposition about what he's going to do. But I still loved it. It was just like, ha, I'm going to do this. And I wanted to laugh at every moment, but it was still, it didn't bother me. It was just like, I think he'd done what was needed, I think. Because his power is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I absorb everything and...
It's not that ridiculous. I mean, all their powers are ridiculous. I mean...
Okay, there.
Don't think about it too much.
No, but it's just the way he takes it in. It's just like, oh, there's a grenade, I've got it, you know, and... The, you know, and what's Cyclops' brother's name in this? Havoc. Oh,
yeah.
God. Okay, fuck continuity. He just, yeah, those side characters are awful. Okay, another issue. Nicholas Holt, I really liked him. The Doctor.
Oh, really? I hated him.
No, I liked him right at the start. I thought, oh, fuck. Before we go, I talk more about his character. I fucking hate the line. And I don't know how this got into the movie. But both Mystique and him say, I just want to be normal together. And I was just like... This is not a teen movie.
This happens in real life all the time to me. I'm always saying things at exactly the same time.
At the same time, we both say exactly. Yeah. We should say exactly the same time we say something.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to happen on this podcast, unfortunately. So we should have thought about that before.
We should.
Maybe, if it happens naturally, then we're going to have success.
And we're going to have some sex.
So do you think that... how well do you think that X-Men's been perceived? Is it going to be a summer blockbuster?
Well, I don't think it's been a blockbuster in terms of revenue it's generated. Okay. I mean, it has a really strong word of mouth, right? I mean, on Facebook, I see it, my mates, all, you know, people who are general movie audiences liked it a lot. And I think because, I don't know, maybe lately I've been putting on a more critic brain. I don't choose to. Because I'm, like, we're going to talk about Fast Five and... I'll be able to talk about it later, but you know, I enjoy that basically. But with X-Men, I think it was just because you talk about the director Matthew Vaughn. I think when he read his interviews, you really believe what he's selling, and the trailer really makes you believe. And when you watch it, it's doing most of it right. It's just you know, these stupid tone, fucked up, you know, change of tones come in, and it really bothers me. And then the whole race thing really bothered me. It really did. It's just. Just the way they treat him. I mean, you have a character called Darwin, and he's like, I adapt to everything. I cannot... He literally is immortal, in a way.
It makes no sense that a man who can adapt to survive doesn't survive the film more than 15 minutes.
Yeah.
He should surely be able to adapt to survive.
I think he can't survive from shitty screenwriting. or just racism.
Yeah, I commented after I saw the film... I said I would have thought that a black man would be able to adapt to survive through the 60s
by changing his race. Being a white man and being able to sit on the bus, but
yeah, no,
that wasn't brought up. That wasn't brought up, unfortunately.
And okay, actually, we didn't discuss this part, but I think we should overall sum up our opinions.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to give a review out of 4 stars.
And out of 4
like,
stars.
Yeah. So it's like Roger Ebert star, where it's like so like 2.5, 3. Okay. Four, right? I mean, but that's how, like, if you want to go 5-star route, that's fine.
I don't know, maybe I might give
two moons.
I'll give it 4, obviously, so it can people don't have to do the maths to work out who likes it more or less.
So I'm just going to sum it up. I think it has some great moments.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Fassbender and James McAvoy were awesome. Okay, so, and what I really wish was they had this fantastic chemistry, and obviously from the previous X-Men films, you see, they had a really long history. Xavier says, we met at 17.
Yeah.
Okay, so that doesn't happen. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is they could have had a history for the whole first movie.
Yeah.
That they would actually work together and not just separate into Magneto. I don't need that. Mm-hmm. That's why I was saying to you before, I wish that came in the sequel or in the third movie.
Yes.
Where it could have been like the Star Wars prequel, but yeah, obviously done better.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they could have done was really tackle the issue of race, just mutants. Mm-hmm. Okay, not black civil rights, but civil rights in the mutant way.
Because
it's there's not enough, I think, for Fassbender to become a Nazi of his own.
Yeah, he doesn't really have a... He has a strong-ish reason, just because he knows how the Jews were treated. But then it's not like he mentions that in the film.
He's going to kill every Jewish guy then. He's going to kill every Jewish guy, so it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't, it's not,
and
they didn't fully flesh out his whole, how his ideology came about.
Yeah.
But now he's Magneto completely, so they're not going to get the opportunity.
And that's what really pissed me off. It was the fact that he did, like, if he really believed that what Kevin Bacon was doing, he didn't need to kill him straight away.
Who, Kevin Bacon?
Yeah, you know, he didn't need to kill him, sure. What he could have done was let the nuclear war happen, kill all the humans, and then kill Bacon and got his revenge.
That is very, very true. That almost makes the ending of the film pointless. That's a brilliant point.
That's what bothered me. I was just Magneto can't... I mean, with Magneto, you had... Okay, he didn't have the helmet yet to stop... Xavier. And that's the other issue I had. I don't think the helmet should have been used to stop Xavier from using him. Because in the first scene of X-Men 1, he doesn't have a helmet. And
who doesn't?
Magneto. He has a hat. Remember, he has a hat in the UN.
I can't remember.
Okay, in the UN, Xavier and Magneto are talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ian McKellen's like, you're trying to get into my mind, but you can't.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would have liked was Magneto somehow built some kind of magnetic resistance that... And, we're engineers, and we kind of know that... I mean, I don't think there could be, but, you know, with magnetic poles, you could fuck up radio waves.
They could have given a reason for the helmet rather than Sebastian Shaw being like, my friends have given me this helmet. Isn't that convenient? It looks exactly like Magneto's helmet.
What I liked was the Russians like, we clearly don't know there's telepaths in the world, but we're just creating a helmet. How about that?
Yeah. I'm glad that they decided to paint it red at the end as well.
What do you mean?
Everyone's going to be Magneto, I'm painting this helmet red and wearing a cape.
But what I found funny was the costume looked hilarious.
It looks ridiculous.
Yeah, I actually was about... And because what I loved was, I think Michael Fassbender, when he wore the costume, he realised, this looks fucking ridiculous. Because when he comes in, he's just like, hello there.
Hello there, Timmy Shaw. I've come to save you, Emma Frost.
And then Johnny Jones, Eric? Is it? You know, mummy style. But, but again, talking about the fleshing out, because obviously those two actually meet Jean Grey, and they actually do produce the X-Men, and I will love that, like, their teaching styles, if they conflicted when they're teaching, because it really, Magneto only tells Mystique to live her life as a normal person, but he has no effect on the other mutants.
Nope.
McAvoy is the only one who's, like, saying, hey, do this and that, and I do like McAvoy being very shallow as well, with the whole, he's pretty judgmental on people's...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And... Sorry, and I want to go back to the whole Hank McCoy thing with the transformation. So this guy is so insecure that he can't take care of his, you know, he can't look at his feet.
That really annoyed me.
And then the next moment, he's like in a cartoon movie because his suit looks, he looks stupid as hell. I loved his X-Men 3 look. I really do. I mean, I hate the movie.
But X-Men, so much better.
Yeah, but in this, he just comes out and he's just like, hey, you look like a blue furball. And he's just not angry. He's just like, hey,
he just has to buy slightly bigger shoes and he doesn't look strange anymore. But he decides to invent a serum that turns him into a weird cat.
But the thing was, okay, yeah, I mean, obviously that's not what he anticipated. Fine.
No, but my problem is he could have just worn big shoes. He had an easy solution rather than bad science.
But then bad what?
Bad science. He had no reason to believe that he didn't try a serum out before he used it. He was his own guinea pig. It was very silly.
Yeah, I guess so. And, like, again, talking about how insecure he was just with his feet, he should have just gone batshit mental and he shouldn't have gone to the mission, basically. He should have been suicidal, really, the way he was acting throughout the film before. He was like, you know, he seemed like he was about to, like, commit suicide when everyone said, hey, big feet! Like, you know, yeah. When Havoc said it, he looks like he's about to cry. I'm like, fucking hell, man up.
He's a bit, Nick Holt's a bit soft.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to give it stars.
Just to give you.
Please, you first.
Okay, so even after watching Green Lantern, I still give it a solid 3 out of 4. I think
3 out of 4.
3 out of 4.
Okay, I'm going to give it 2.5 stars. I think it's good.
Out of 4.
Okay, 2.5 stars. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. I don't plan to watch it again. I would like to see what they do with the next film in the series.
Yeah.
I'm giving it at least that pass.
Yeah. Okay. So that was our review of X-Men. Hope you enjoy that. We'll be back with a topic about summer movies 2011 and general summer movies. Okay, so welcome back to the ump. And we're going to be talking about summer movies 2011 and then summer movies in general. So first I'm going to talk about Fast Five. I think that's the first summer movie that came out, even though it came out late April. And that, you know, it just shows that sort of summer movies are starting really early now.
Mm-hmm.
But okay.
Well, how do you define a summer movie? What's a summer blockbuster to you? What does it need?
I think it's depends on the hype in a way as well, and obviously just the commercials are all over the place, and it's just, and it tells you, you kind of, you know, you're watching a popcorn film, you know. Okay. The adverts tell you it is a popcorn film.
None of these films are going to try and win an Oscar is what you're saying,
basically. Yeah, I mean, obviously Dark Knight tried to, or those people were talking about it, it should. We'll talk about that eventually down the podcast if you ever watch it again, but okay, but I want to talk about Fast Five, right? So, what I love about Fast Five actually is, it is actually the perfect definition of a summer movie for me.
Okay.
That's, because you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it, no. It kind of passed me by. I saw the trailers, and the Fast and Furious is the kind of film that I like to watch on a Saturday afternoon, but I couldn't imagine myself getting up to the cinema to actually watch it. I did like that they brought back characters and but I don't, I know nothing about it, so I'll let Ali.
But have you seen the other Fast Furious movies?
I have seen number 1 and 2.
Uh-huh.
And possibly what happens in 4. If you tell me what happens in 4, I'll tell you.
Oh god, because I hate that one. It was the one where what's her name, Rodriguez? Is it Michelle Rodriguez?
I have no idea.
I think it's Michelle Rodriguez, the one who's not attractive but is told to be attractive.
Okay.
Vin Diesel's girlfriend. She dies. Yeah. She dies.
Okay, I haven't seen that. But I remember I've seen the first 30 minutes of Tokyo Drift.
You didn't like it?
I didn't like it, no, of course. It was silly. I don't think any film should ever have Lil Bow Wow in it, as a rule.
Okay, I can see what you're saying there.
Yeah.
But funny enough, I don't know. I keep thinking I like Tokyo Drift more than the first one, but then I do like Vin Diesel a lot in the first one. I think he's that kind of action star that was missing at that moment in the early 2000s. You didn't have that typical action star look. In the 90s, guys were kind of becoming just martial artists, really, and they weren't bulky, you know, just like, you know, typical Sylvester Stallone.
So you were really looking for a return to big, muscular men on screen. Is that, you wanted to watch someone you felt could hold you at night and make you feel safe?
I think so, and that's why I love Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I thought so, yeah.
And I like, because the way is, the thing is, both, all three, Sylvester Stallone, Vin Diesel, and Schwarzenegger, had their way of talking. They talk very slowly, but in
how many years after the first one did Fast 5 come out? How many years has it been since the first Fast and Furious? Are you sure?
2001. So
2001, so 10 years.
I think it's 2001, so 10 years, yeah.
So after 10 years, does concept date, does Vin Diesel look old? Does it work?
He looks old. Vin Diesel doesn't look old. He looks fat.
No longer is he the man of your dreams.
No.
But after 10 years of marriage, he's turned into a bloated sofa.
Marriage?
Sofa drinking. Well, okay, maybe I've taken the analogy too far. But he's not the man. He's not. You're saying he's not an attractive male lead?
I don't think he was ever attractive.
I'm not. Okay. You can look at a man objectively and guess he's attractive. But you're saying he's fat. You mentioned his appearance.
Okay. But we'll talk about that later, right? But because I do want to talk about Fast 5 itself.
I know. But I'm asking you, how do you feel 10 years after the fact?
Yeah, okay.
Does it work in the same way or is it different?
Yeah, So, besides the whole Vin Diesel thing, Fast 5, well, basically, they've just changed the formula. They, instead of focusing on the drag racing, it's focusing on heisting. That's obvious through the trailers. That's fine with me. I think everyone's talked about that's what it does. I mean, I don't really care about the plot. That's not what I enjoyed about it. Well, I didn't care for. That wasn't the part where I was looking, oh, the plot's going to be great. Because the first one's dumb, the second one's dumb, third one's dumb. The third one, the racing was pure. The racing was enjoyable. And it wasn't that computerized. Like, it's compared to the second one. The second one was, taking the piss of how CGI it was. Third one, it was still, it had some really good looking, just drag racing. Obviously, the characters are fucking retarded and awful, but I think that's what is a dumb movie sometimes. And I'm not about switching your brain off, but just not judging a movie. I mean, it's like a hot, dumb girl in a way, you know? It's like, she's hot, that's all it is.
Well, I only talk to intelligent women.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
That's how you talk about your girlfriend, right?
She is amazing.
You're struggling.
In the brain department. So yeah, going back to Fast 5. So did you like it?
Yeah, so even though, it kind of brings it down as the rest of the films we're going to talk about, but it's my favourite movie of the summer so far.
Okay.
Because, it brings up the action. It's you know, no CGI. There probably is trickery or CGI, but it uses it really well. It's got awesome pacing. You know, momentum's constantly going through. It has a bit of a lull in the middle, but not too much that it bothers me. The action is constant. The characters are dumb, but they have, these awesome 80s line. The Rock just fucking steals a movie, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I am a wrestling fan, just of The Rock. That's it, you know. But he just brought it, you know, the film. He knew what film he was in. Right, he wasn't in a serious movie. He was just we talk about hamming up, and he hams it up. Right, he just does this. He demands. He has this awesome screen presence. As soon as he walks down the aircraft, out of the aircraft, he's babbling lines of "We gotta chase these fuckers down" and this and that. And he does swear, and there's an awesome one where he. He gives two conditions to the Rio police. He's one, I want this girl, and two, stay the fuck out of my way. And you're yes! It's just because, it's The Rock.
You thought at that moment he was just gonna just grab him and do the people's elbow.
He's gonna do rock bomb, man. I honestly was about to get up and say, rock bottom, rock bottom. But he didn't do that. Okay.
So, you thought it was good. How would you rate it? But give it a star rating.
Oh, okay. I mean, we'll go to star rating in a bit. It's just because I'll say Chris Hemsworth, this Thor guy.
Yeah.
His wife's in it. She's the Brazilian Rio police girl.
Yeah.
Fuck, she's hot, but she's the worst actress. One of the worst actresses. Her lines are awful. The way she just talks,
you can't do that. And I just, mm-hmm. I was like, you sound fucking stupid, woman. Like, just, okay, I know I'm coming.
You're so misogynistic. I don't know what to do. I would like to.
I apologize.
Ali does not speak for me, he speaks for himself.
No.
Women of that, the one woman that Ali forces to listen to this podcast. I love and respect women, and I don't think that any of you are stupid. I think you're all lovely.
No, I didn't say women are stupid. I said the character's stupid.
Okay, then that's fine.
That's what I'm trying to say.
He's backtracking.
No, but I did not say she is a stupid woman because she is a woman, but the character itself is stupid.
Okay.
Right? Whereas, my Dom's sister, or what's the guy, Paul Walker's wife in it,
mm-hmm.
right? She's not Dom. She's fine. She's a serviceable job. She's just a part. She's a character. And no, I didn't mean it that way. Okay,
I bet you would love to service her.
Now that's misogynistic.
That's not, you said it, mate. You said it.
For God, yeah.
I
would like to service her.
Yeah. So, but there's a lot of films in the summer. We need to move on.
Okay. So yeah, it's just because you kept gasping. I was trying to sum up, okay, and you didn't.
No, you were not trying to
sum up. Okay, I wasn't. But, okay, guys, seriously, if you just want to, guys and girls, if you want a fun movie that, you know, just have a good time and has good action, Fast Five is still the number one recommended movie this summer. So, okay, now both of us have seen Thor, right?
I did see Thor. I saw Thor. I'm surprised that Thor surely is more fun because Thor has no redeeming qualities apart from being ridiculous, and that's basically why I watched it.
So you didn't. So did you like Thor?
I liked it because it had. I think it had no pretensions like many other films. It had no point and be more serious than it was. It was very camp and almost tacky, but in a kind of endearing way. The thing I didn't like about Thor was Natalie Portman, but I think
really?
It's just because I hate Natalie Portman.
What? Why? And we were talking about Jewish people. You can't say that for Natalie Portman.
Well, two reasons. I don't want to be libelous, but I've heard Natalie Portman can be quite difficult to work with. Number two, I just don't like her. That's the end of that.
I like Natalie Portman. I think she's a good actress. I mean, yes, she's awful in the Star Wars movies, but I don't think that's her fault, obviously.
I do. I think it was. I heard that she invented Jar Jar Binks.
I completely doubt that.
She did. She did it to denigrate black people. But yeah. And it's not as if I hate her in Thor. It's just that sometimes I watch her, and because I've got no reason to dislike her, she distracted me from the awesome coffee cup smashing of Thor.
That was pretty good. Actually, yeah, so I'll quickly talk about Thor as well. Like, okay, I completely agree with the campiness and everything, but, and I think we'll talk about actually Marvel movies a bit in the summer movie general, maybe. But, what I liked about it was the acting. Like, Chris Hemsworth was awesome. Like, I thought he really, like, he could have made a really dumb character out of it. Like, he could have been really annoying to see this Thor guy.
Is Chris Hemsworth the man of the
film? Yeah.
Okay, yeah. He was good, because he played Thor well, I think. I enjoyed it.
No, but I think it's not easy to complete. Like, you could come off really dumb off that, if you know what I mean.
I think he came off quite dumb anyway. I assumed Thor was just an idiot during the film.
Okay.
But I thought that's kind of, he's young and impetuous in the film.
But I don't think he's necessarily dumb. I don't think that is.
He makes some foolish choices.
But that doesn't make him dumb. Even a smart person is foolish.
I don't know, mate.
Okay.
Nah, mate.
I'm not sure, mate.
But yeah, but I like Thor. I don't think I like Thor as much. I think I like Thor as much as I like the X-Men.
Okay.
I think it's probably on the same level in terms of I wouldn't see it again. Definitely something that I felt like they had to get out of the way before they could lead on the Avengers.
Yeah.
So it was almost like we have to do this. We'll do whatever. We'll just do something with it.
But okay, from that part, yeah. Well, what I wanted to really get onto was actually Loki. Tom Hiddleston. I thought his character was awesome. Like, he was actually. I mean, the movie doesn't live up to his character movement really in a way. I think that's an issue in Marvel overall. Like, they have some good character moments, and I think that's what's
I have the problem with Green Lantern, but we go, but with Thor, you have, you know, with Loki, you know, you find his past, and it's, and the way he pulls it off, he doesn't come off like really annoying or dumb. You actually feel a sense that how he feels, and he doesn't come off completely villainous. Like he just feels he's just angry and he's confused and lost. Really, I mean, it's like if you were painted white as a baby, and then you turned out, then you know you had a bath when you were 20. And you turn to be black.
that's a great analogy. Yeah, I thought he was a very good character. I did enjoy it. I enjoyed the way he played. I felt he was a character that had real development in it.
Yeah, yeah.
If anything, though Thor was the main character, if you focused on what was happening to him, you could see a real story development, and I thought that was quite good.
Sorry, I just cut you off there, because the issue I actually had with Thor, what the biggest issue I had was, this guy, like you're saying, he's impetuous, arrogant. And then in 2 days of becoming human, he's like, no, we shouldn't kill the frost giants. Like, nah, mate, don't do that.
He has,
nah, bro.
his growth was washed over. There was no... There was barely any reason for him to become... He didn't really do anything. He was just suddenly... He died, and then... Oh, I've ruined that for people who haven't seen it. He died, comes back to life, and then he's allowed to have his hammer. I felt he should have had to go through some kind of tribulation. Maybe they could have killed Natalie Portman. I don't know.
If they made it last for a week or 2 weeks and made him like just do normal stuff,
yeah,
like,
maybe.
They made him human, like
come down
to
earth.
Yeah, come down to earth, like actually like doing some sort of labor work and helping poor people out, and you know, like and put some kind of like cheesy 70s music on, and then that being great, that would have worked. Like they could have made it a week longer too, because there's no. I mean, yeah, I know it's Avengers, but it's not like Avengers gonna start the next week. I mean, they could have still Loki could have. It's obvious that Loki's going to be the bad guy in the Avengers, but again, they could have taken a week or two of him just being who he was, because he was arrogant, and then suddenly he's just a nice guy. Like, and I think he's just a nice guy because he's trying to make Natalie Portman a bit happy, you know, like, so it's kind of like fake at the same time. And I don't get why Natalie Portman, I mean, the only reason Natalie Portman likes him is because he's an alien, he's a subject of interest, like, rather than actually being interesting person or a living thing, really. I mean, I don't want, because he's not human at the end of the day, right? So you know, that's the issue I had with it. And then I do like the three warriors and the girl, like,
okay,
they played it, it's very camp, but it's funny.
I agree,
you know, I did love the look of Robin. I don't know why his name, Thanard or something, I can't remember, the Robin Hood lookalike.
I'm not sure.
I can't remember, but I know the one, the Japanese guy is called Hogan, but I can't remember, damn it. But, you know, again, so, yeah, Thor was good. I would give it your rating of 2.5. I don't think it's good as X-Men.
Okay.
Because I think the issue I had with it was the action. And this is, I think, something with Marvel Studios, not, because X-Men is done by Fox.
Okay,
That's when it's not getting incorporated in the Avengers, same with, like, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But, it's like, you know, Iron Man has the same issue. Iron Man 2 has the same issue. They have these great character moments, right? Or they pull off enough that I care about the character. They tell enough decent story. Yeah, they never pull off enough for the action. Like, even, like, I know there's a good action. Like, no, there was a big action piece in the sense when they're fighting the Frost Giants, when they go to the planet. Oh, God, I can't remember what it's called, the Frost Giant planet. But he, you know, it's because it's all CGI, and he's just, like, swinging a hammer, and it just doesn't seem that effective until he kills the big monster, which is actually pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know, he just flies through, and he just lands. I thought that was pretty badass. But then when he fights his brother, it's very boring. It's, like, hand-to-hand, and he wasn't, like, he didn't... That, because he's a god, right? These guys are gods. It should feel epic.
Yeah.
And you know, I never felt that, and... this is why, I mean, I'll talk a bit about Green Lantern here because they're both kind of going for the same look, I think, they were before they came out. Mm-hmm. And Green Lantern in the trailers promised me kind of like that epicness, those kind of big shots and that, you know, really fantasy level and like really looking crazy and out there. And that movie, I mean, you'll hear it in my review, like when I talk with my other friend, but... They don't do that, and they don't even get the character moments right because the script is just fucking wrong. It is really bad.
Like, in Green Lantern,
it's fucking bad, and the way it's shot. Like I haven't talked about, like I mean, I talked about director shooting like wasn't that great, but it's overall like the cinematography, like the color was fucking poor. Like not the CGI, but like actually like in his room when there's no CGI happening, it just looks shit. It looks ugly.
Is this Green Lantern?
Yeah.
Stop talking about Green Lantern.
I'm sorry,
you've
but
you've got a separate review. How long is your Green Lantern review?
It's only 14 minutes.
You can't trash Green Lantern all the time. I've got one point that I would like to ask you about Thor before we move on to this film. Before Thor came out, there was a lot of controversy about having a black Norse god in played by Idris Elba. Do you think that distracted you in the film at all, or played any part when you watched it?
None at all. Why did it to you?
Of course not. I just wanted to know if you were even conscious of that when watching.
Oh, I knew.
When watching that, did you think, is this going to affect the way I'm going to watch it, or does that kind of casting make any difference?
No, that didn't make any. Like, it didn't. Like, I knew the story ages ago, and people were talking about it, but I completely ignored it because it was just because the thing was, it could be X-Men First Class. They treat his race as an equal. Like, they didn't kill him off. Like, you know, they gave him an awesome character moment where they didn't give Darwin or Angel character moments. They were plot devices.
Okay, yeah.
They were just meant to move the story along and do something. With Hondo, you know, he was awesome and he was just like, I still serve the king and I'm leaving my post, and, you know, like all the gods, you know, what's it? Then all the guys just come in and, you know, let them kick Loki's ass. And I was like, great. You know, that was awesome. That was an awesome moment. And, yeah. That's Thor. So, okay, next movie, and I think actually I do want to talk about this a bit more, is Attack the Block.
Okay, then, yeah, that's fine.
Because I don't get the hype of Attack the Block. Like, to the level that people are talking about, like, they're saying this is, like, the new Shaun of the Dead, the Hot Fuzz kind of thing, because it's produced by Edgar Wright, right?
Yeah, that's
And, you know, Joe Cornish is from MMA, and, you know, it's kind of the same thing. The issue I had was, actually, if I didn't see the first 5 minutes of the movie, I think I would have liked it a lot more.
Yeah, okay.
Because the problem I had was the kids were way too fucking rough, like, on that girl. Like, in the sense, like, it wasn't... Because we're Londoners, right? Yeah. We kind of see those kind of people, and we fucking hate them. Like, I hate them, right?
I think that the problem with that film, I think the bits where they played it as those kids on the state, or trying to depict their lives or the kids in any way, I felt was a bit cheesy or not maybe realistic or maybe stupid. What I liked most about it, and it definitely wasn't enough of, was action scenes. I liked it when they were fighting the aliens, but I didn't like the... I felt sometimes they tried to make the kids realistic, but you're putting in the voice of a white man in his 30s into the kids that even I don't understand the slang that a 15-year-old kid says.
Really?
So I doubt that Joe Cornish could get the slang right. He didn't get what they were saying right. He didn't get it realistic. There's parts in the film where... There's a part when they kill the first alien where they're standing around with the alien on a stick shouting, bruh, 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 which makes no sense.
Yeah.
Nobody would ever do that. And even if they would do that, brap is something that people would have said when I was actually a child, and I'm sure kids today can see through that blatant pandering to youth culture. It was a film for older people to try and understand what youth culture may or may not be, and it flopped on those parts and didn't have enough action.
Okay, well, I didn't have the issue with the action part, because I thought what happened, because like I said, because like remember to where the first 5 minutes, it's just what they could have made better the first 5 minutes if the main guy, I don't know his, what's he called in the movie?
His name is...
IMDb that?
I looked that up.
IMDb that, I can't remember what his character name, but I know his name is John Boyega, I think that's what's his name.
Yeah, that's his name, and he...
Why are you going there? Just go IMDb.
Because it didn't come up on the thing!
What thing?
Okay, there it is.
Yeah. you missed it. Go down.
Yeah, I've gone down.
Yeah, up. There you go. Yeah, okay, he's called Moses.
Moses, okay.
So Moses, it's just like, when he comes into the movie, he's really cold. He comes up, like, if he was a bit, like, if they were, like, messing up the mugging.
Yeah.
And it would have seemed more forgivable, but they seemed really cold people. Like, they seemed like they truly would have hurt this girl, you know?
And that's the issue I had with it. Like, and because we see this, like, oh, I, you know, in my area, I see it where these kind of guys do start fights, and you give them a look and they start fights. And I just don't like, I mean, I think that's why the Americans kind of like this movie, because they don't know what these kind of people are.
But what do you think that you didn't like it because you just don't like the depiction of these? Do you think the depiction of that robbery was realistic or not? Or do you
think I think it was nearly realistic, but that's the issue I had with it, because it seemed to make them seem less forgivable. I think, you know, when
you felt like you would have liked it if they were more forgivable.
Yeah, because then you can't empathize with them through the rest of the film.
There was a scene at the end where they try to clearly make you empathize for the Moses character.
Yeah.
And that I felt like that was so, like, I felt it was coming. I felt they should have introduced that part slowly throughout the film, and they shoehorned it in as hard as they could to ram it home to make you switch from possibly being angry to feeling sorry for him. No one can see that in
because you're my jeans. But anyway, sorry,
your jeans look shit.
Anyway, so going past those minutes, right? Because what I liked about it was kind of like an homage to, like, kind of like the Goonies or like Gremlins in a way. Yeah, Gremlins, actually. More like Gremlins, because, you know, you had these monsters, the kids are kind of fighting them off, and it's in like that. It's like in a smaller area. I mean, Gremlins is in a small town, okay, but this is like in a block, which mm-hmm. is fine, right? But, sometimes I think the jokes, like, okay, even if the slang is wrong, I understood the slang, right? Yeah. Whereas Americans couldn't, but the thing was, what I liked about it was, what I didn't like, I think the punchlines were a bit forced. Like, you know, the whole texting thing. Like, only got 10p texts left or something like that. It didn't feel funny. It was just like someone...
I think I liked those bits. I thought those bits... I think
there's some that fell flat, but some, like, you know, worked. Like the FIFA thing, because I know I play FIFA. So I laughed. I was like, yep, I'll play FIFA.
But I didn't like that bit. I thought it was silly.
But I know people would do that. That's the thing. I like the little kids with the and they're pretty smart. Like the little kids with the whole gun and
that
the
was that was. I like that scene where they set the monster on fire.
And what I liked was also, I mean, they actually killed kids off. Whereas in Gremlins, they kill off all people, but in this, they actually kill off the kids. These are.
I thought that was good. I was a bit disappointed they didn't kill Moses though.
Really.
Yeah, because he is the catalyst.
Yeah.
He should have...
Yeah.
He should have been...
Paid the price.
The price. Yeah, I thought he was going to die at the end. I thought he was going to sacrifice life. And when he didn't die at the end, I was a bit disappointed.
But the
and very angry when they started chanting his name.
Yeah, I didn't get that. Like, he's not really a hero because he brought him to the block. You know?
Yeah, it was silly.
Yeah, so, you know, Nick Frost was meh. I didn't care for... I did like the mix of kind of genre, like the action and the horror part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the whole smoking hallway and everything like that. And even though they shoehorned the gangster guy, I thought he was pretty threatening in a way. I thought he was going to kill someone. And I did like the part where he did kill the alien. Like, even though, I mean, because I didn't expect him to, right? Because I thought that's him out of the story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously they do that to him anyway later. But I thought that was his moment.
I didn't like him. I thought his... comedy gangster shtick has been done over and over again in these British kind of films, and like, let's get a small man who's probably got a small man complex and make him angry and make him someone to laugh at but dangerous because he's psychopathic. It's just not I just didn't like it. I think there was a few cliches in the film.
Of course, yeah.
That distracted. I don't films that distract me.
Yeah,
I find hard to watch because. Yeah. I'll be watching and enjoying a film, and then suddenly there'll be a moment where it makes me groan or cringe, and I'll be taken out of the moment of the film, and I won't be able to watch it anymore.
Well, I mean, for me, I think I agree with you that he was a cliche, but I think he pulled it off enough to not bother me. You know, I think that's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
Like, he just done it enough. Like, I think it's, you know, like, when we talk about cliches, you know, it's like a hero's journey. It's a cliche. He goes through hard times and he overcomes whatever he has to, right? It's a cliche. And it just depends on the actor who plays it.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's true.
So that's why I didn't get, you know, bothered by that. Mm-hmm. But, and the soundtrack was actually awesome because it was done by Basement Jaxx. So,
okay.
You know, and that's why I love the whole slow-mo bit at the end, mm-hmm. when there's, like, you know, the alien design, you know, with the silhouettes kind of look to it, mm-hmm. and, like, Moses is, like, jumping over them in slow motion, mm-hmm. and there's, like, fireworks. It's, like the look of the film was awesome, right? It looked, it just looked beautiful, basically. It was, and, you know, it kind of was a good payoff for the film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was building enough momentum to pay off for that, so I was happy they did do that. I just hate the bit where Moses is hanging off the flag myself as well.
Yeah.
Like, it just looked dumb, I think. You know, if he got killed, I kind of do agree, but I think what they could have maybe done is maybe see it through, because the problem was they showed the movie through Moses's eyes,
yep.
so you can't really kill him off because of that. Because then there's no one to see the movie through, you know, their point of view.
Okay.
Like, I think it would jar a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But if they got the girl to be the point of view, because she's not, she kind of does, I mean, she has some point of view, like, you see her moments, but she's not the through line as much as Moses is.
Okay.
So that's why I think they couldn't kill him off, or it wouldn't have that ending, that would have any meaning
okay.
to it. So, I think Attack the Block is good, but I won't even put near the Shaun of the Dead level or Hot mm-hmm. Fuzz level, in my opinion. I think Joel Cornish does a good job, but not a great job. Like, okay, another issue. One definite issue I had that pissed me off was that when that kid, when he's, like, standing on the ledge, and he's like, oh, do you think I can jump from here? And then, you know, later, he does that jump And, you know, it was, like, a very shitty... It was a shitty writing moment, you know?
Yeah.
It was, like, very childish. It's kind of like... You could see that happening in the 80s child movie, you know? When the kid's like, I want to fly! And then he does fly at the end. I mean, and it doesn't really build up to that moment as well. Like, if he tried to do it the first time...
I think the reason they put moments like that in the film is, like, the first time you see it, he doesn't believe he can do it. And the second time he does it, because he has no choice. And so it builds up... how much he's trying to get away from these monsters.
But he doesn't seem that scared, though.
In his ham-fisted... He wouldn't have done it.
That's
what they were trying to imply. It may not have...
But he didn't seem that scared, though. He didn't seem enough to give me that adrenaline rush. Like, I mean, I don't... Like, I think this is getting nitpicky here, but if he'd done some sort of, like, shaky cam to really... Like, you know, really intensify his... his level of anxiety,
mm-hmm.
then, I would have believed he needed to jump. Okay. But they don't do that. They just, he just looks, like, left and right, and you're like, okay. Because that's it, he just jumps off, and I'm like, okay. But, okay, overall, I like the film, but, like, we've concluded that. Okay, so, okay, we haven't seen the next two films, but...
No, but I think they have to be talked about. If we're talking about summer films.
Yeah.
Just generally, what's the first one on the list?
Hangover 2.
Hangover 2. Have you seen the first Hangover?
Yeah, I saw the first
one. Did you like it?
I liked it, but I want to make this clear why I liked it. I liked the concept rather than the actual comedy of it as much.
You like the concept rather than the comedy?
Yeah. Because my issue was with the film. They kind of just reacted a lot, and it wasn't, and the acting didn't seem right. Besides Zach Galifianakis, Ed Helms and Bradley Cooper were just like saying, holy fuck, like, oh my god, this is happening. You know, that's all they kept saying. You know, they were, like, reacting to a situation,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't playing off it, in my opinion, that well. But, like, the concept, I love the mystery of it, you know, how, it's like, you know, when you go out with your mates, and the next morning you talk, okay, what happened, you know, who did he hit on, that kind of thing. But obviously, this is amplified to the level of Las Vegas and running the riot, basically,
I'm surprised you said that. You must be one of the few commentators that have... Or one of the few people in the world that stated that the concept was the part that they enjoyed the most about The Hangover. I think the way I view The Hangover is just a series of slapstick comedy moments that I either find funny or not. And in The Hangover, I found it mostly funny because it was very silly. So, and then if you see Mike Tyson punch someone, you laugh.
See,
it's silly. It's pure silliness, and I enjoyed it. Not, I love it. It's not the funniest film in the world. It's just
that's Anchorman. That's
what funniest film in the world? Yeah. Anchorman. Okay,
we'll talk about it some other time. But go on. Yeah,
I've heard that The Hangover 2 is basically The Hangover done again.
See, you know, that actually doesn't bother me, right? Because
I'm going to bring up the best example I can, and that's Home Alone 2. Home Alone 2 is pretty much the exact same movie, and, you know, okay, I loved it as a kid, it still had, like, the great slapstick moments, and it was still inventive enough to bring something new, and it clearly knew that it was copying the first one with the whole bucket thing, and the pipe thing, so it wasn't like they weren't unaware of it, right?
Okay.
I mean, I haven't seen the second one, but, you know, my sister seen it, she liked it, she knew exactly...
I loved it too.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, and she knew the same thing, but obviously they done the even if the same beats, it still could have been funny. And you know, I didn't like. I know I might have seen a bit negative in the comedy, but like I did enjoy the comedy. It's just, I mean, I think like I like Bradley Cooper as an actor. I like Ed Helms as an actor as well. I think they are very talented, but just sometimes the way, I mean. They probably react. I think sometimes they overreact, and sometimes they don't react enough. And you know, like I said again, it's just like there's just a lot of oh my god, and what's going on here, and blah blah blah. And that's that's the issue I had with Hangover. But other than that, like you know, Ken Jeong was pretty funny. I loved the bit where he just springs out of the trunk and is like because I didn't even know that was happening, and that's great, and I like the twists and turns because I think the storytelling was good, and I think that's what kept it funny as well. And the music choices were awesome. I love the Wolf Mother song in the I can't remember what it's called now. Joker and the Thief in the whole poker scene with the Rain Man kind of thing, that. It was pretty good editing there. So I don't know, but I don't know if you... I think, personally, if you enjoy the first Hangover, you possibly could enjoy Hangover 2, even though I haven't seen it.
Okay. But you didn't... Did you... You made a conscious decision not to see it?
I made a conscious decision mainly because I had no one to go with. I wasn't that bothered. Okay, because I could just see Hangover 1 again.
I decided not to see it because I could see Hangover 1 again.
Yeah.
So the next film on our list is Pirates of the Caribbean 4.
Okay.
I'll start off by saying... that I cannot watch any Pirates of the Caribbean at all. I find the idea ridiculous. I think that Johnny Depp looks like an idiot, sounds like an idiot. Everything about those films sounds and looks idiotic. So
you don't even like the first one?
No.
Really?
I've never watched the whole one. I can't sit through them.
I love the first one.
Only the first one, though.
Oh, yeah. The first one. Yeah, only the first one. Like... just because it's like again, it's kind of like Fast Five, but with pirates saying, and in the sense, and just better, they're better spoken. Really, that's what it is. It's just like because you have these oddball, eccentric characters, and I don't hate. Oh God, what's his name? Orlando Bloom. I don't hate him.
Okay.
Like I don't have an issue with the guy, really. Whatever. But
do you love him?
No, but. He doesn't offend me, right? And I like Johnny Depp. I thought he was awesome in the first one. I like the fact that he was a central character. So he's always like, he was kind of like that one note, but it was like, that note was pretty great. Okay. In the sense, like, he wasn't, because you don't see like all sides. You just realize he's actually insane. That's what you realize that from the first film only, that he's a madman. Like, there is. The guy is just driven by money in a way, and that's all he cares about. Okay. And truly, he is not a good person in a way. He's out there for himself, you know. Okay. And again, it's just the music was awesome, and it's just funny.
So why don't you like the second and the third one?
Okay, so with the first one, right? This simple story, right? Yeah. Second and third, fucking convoluted like hell.
Okay.
And the CGI was really impressive for the whole fisherman guys.
Mm-hmm.
But it just fucking really scared the hell out of me, actually. Okay. This look really weirded me out. And, like, Orlando Bloom's dad was a bootstrap Bill, right?
Okay.
Oh, my God. Because he was Stan Sarsgaard, the guy who's in Thor.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I could not understand a fucking word he was saying.
Okay.
He just sounded like mumbling. It was just like... I was only seeing it once because God, I got bored after it, right? And I watched the third on on DVD, and I was on TV or something. And what I liked about the second and third was actually they had these really really dark moments.
Okay.
And like they really changed the tone, and I enjoyed like the music got it all, and the cinematography got it really moody in that sense.
Okay.
And it was interesting, but. That's all it was. It was interesting at that point, but overall, the story didn't mesh together. It didn't work, and
you know, and that's why I'm not watching the fourth one, really.
That's why I'm not watching the fourth
one. And the other thing is because Rob Marsh was directing it, I have no interest in his direction. Like, he did Chicago and Nine. Those are the only two ones I've known him for.
Okay.
And I've seen Chicago. Chicago's decent, but it's because it's a play, I think. I mean, it's just a different movie, right? But Pirates 4 just doesn't look interesting. Like, Gore Verbinski is a visual director I like. He knows how to set a mood, really. Even if it's a crap movie, like, you know, like 2 and 3, I like the way he sets the tone in the film still. It's in that sometimes is enough to suffice to watch it. For one, at least one time. But 4 just doesn't look like it. I like Penelope Cruz more in her Spanish movies, like Volvo and all stuff like that, and in the Vanilla Sky one that she done before. Because her accents, maybe they purposely amplified her accent in the trailer.
The machine.
No, in the trailer, it just seems like I just couldn't watch that. And then I love Jeffrey Rush as well, but
like Pirates of the Caribbean films, they're kids' films, right? Is that right?
They are
kids' films. So do you think that
with kids
films, you can bring them out, and kids get older, you get a new generation of kids to watch it. Do you think that's what they're doing with 4, and it doesn't really matter?
Because they're going 5 and 6.
Do you think it doesn't matter? Do you think they're not aiming for you? You enjoyed the first one.
No, that's not true, because I think the character Johnny Depp, he says he's very quick-witted, and not quick-witted. He's got great wit.
Often now with children's films, they try and incorporate something for the parents to like. But you think it's an actual
Johnny Depp himself, Jack Sparrow himself has the dialogue that kids will not comprehend. That I think if I was a kid, I would not appreciate what he's saying.
Okay.
As much as I do as an adult, or when I was a teenager.
You're barely
an
adult, I just like to say.
Okay, yeah, I'm not gonna say, but I don't know why, I'm not a girl. I gotta be so misogynistic about this. I'm 24, that's all I'm gonna say. Anyway, I'm older than you, damn it. But, when the first one came out, it was 2003, so how old was I then?
Do the maths,
mate. 16, I think, so. I like the first one. I think it definitely. It has adult moments, and definitely second, third actually has more adult moments than kid moments. But okay, so anyway, Pirates 4, I have no real interest in. If you like Pirates, go for it. You know, if you really like second, third, and you love Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow, then okay, great. But what I did was I bought the Blu-ray for the first one and just kept watching it whenever I felt bored. Because I think it's a good, fun adventure. It contains self-contained storyline. Okay, so next one I want to talk about, is Kung Fu Panda 2.
Another kids' film?
It is a kids' film, but I think...
I've seen Kung Fu Panda 1.
Yes, I have.
I haven't seen that either.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
The problem... Why did I not see that? I had no reason not to see that film. I wanted to see it, and I didn't.
No, then you can't judge it. I think...
I can't judge it, no.
I mean, you can't judge 2 anyway, but like Kung Fu Panda as itself... I really liked it. I don't have an issue with Jack Black, really. Maybe I don't consciously think of hating Jack Black.
Yeah, Jack Black, yeah! that's my Jack Black impression.
If he was British and black.
You can't tell my race using my voice. But
yeah, you can.
Carry on.
Okay, but, I like Kung Fu Panda. It's kind of like, it has that moment. It has a drunken master kind of thing to it.
Yeah.
With the Jackie Chan movie. He goes to that hero's journey, and it's still very dumb, it's very slapstick. And I enjoyed that. And I didn't like the Furious 5, to be honest. I think they were just annoying and arrogant.
Okay.
But I loved Dustin Hoffman's character. He's like a little...
He's like a lemur, isn't he?
Yeah, lemur. That's what he is. But I can't remember what his name is. And Ian McShane is awesome as the tiger guy.
Okay, yeah.
He's very funny because he's trying to, he's doing the, he's trying to be serious. And obviously Poe, which is Jack Black's character, is just completely, just making him look stupid, which is pretty great. And the action is awesome. Like, it really gets that... classic martial arts kind of feel to it. It's very quick. Mm-hmm. It has that awesome beat like every Jackie Chan fight has.
Yeah.
So that's why I like Kung Fu Panda. It is self-deprecating at some points of what it is. Not completely, but, just like the whole, he must be the warrior, that kind of like, he will learn, and then they realize, like, this is dumb, and, you know, they mock themselves, basically. In that sense, you know, they mock the whole hero's destiny part before he actually achieves hero's destiny.
So are you planning on seeing Kung Fu Panda?
I wanted to, but, like, because in the UK, it just came out a week ago.
Okay, yeah.
And I was just busy, really. And
so busy.
And all I was looking forward to was being Anton, and I don't want to talk about that again, but... yeah, okay.
So those are the summer films that have come out so far.
Yeah.
But there's things that... is there anything that you're looking forward to in particular?
I'm really, really looking forward to Captain America. Like, okay. I mean, I am a DC fan. You've
seen the trailer?
Yeah, I've seen the trailer, but I am a... We talked about it.
We did.
Yeah. But not
on the podcast.
But I just want to say, you know, like, I'm a DC fan, and...
Nerd.
Yeah, you're just giving me your big X-Men Apocalypse song.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
I'm gonna put pictures up on the blog, and but anyway, no, just go on.
I've seen the trailer.
Yeah,
I don't really know anything about Captain America before. I thought the trailer looks okay. Don't really like period films.
Oh, really?
Generally, so, and I'm not really. I can't really watch World War II films. Because they get on my nerves.
I think I agree with it, but I don't think they're going to play on that. I really don't think they're going to play on that. I think they're not going to go through the whole trench warfare and the agony of man kind
That's
of thing.
That's World War One.
Well, okay, no, but fine, but it's still in number. Okay, World War Two.
World War Two, there's no trench warfare.
Okay, no, then what?
This isn't a history podcast, though.
I know. I do not.
Learn your history!
Okay, well. We're gone. Then what? What is World War Two?
World War Two.
No, but Band of Brothers, they kind of are in trenches, you know, in the snow part. They build a trench.
Where is Band of Brothers set? What's
it's
that?
World War Two.
What part of World War Two?
In the German part, in Germany.
So when they were doing land forces into Germany, they weren't. They weren't in trenches, but they were going overground. Why are we talking about this?
Okay,
let's go back to Captain America. I am probably going to see it. They've tricked me into seeing all the films that will lead up to
the Avengers.
I haven't seen Iron Man 2 yet, even though I really liked Iron Man 1. But I saw Thor, and I'm going to have to see Captain America because they're leading up to a film that I'm eventually going to want to see, and no doubt I'm not going to like. I did like the trailer a bit. I liked some parts of it. I'm going to watch it, but I'm not sure if it's really going to be a summer blockbuster, especially in... I don't know in Britain if it will be how it will be perceived.
I think in Britain actually it'll be okay. I think it's other international markets, but like, sorry, I do like okay because I want to talk about the. I say I'm in DC now, but the issue I actually have in Marvel, like I know, because what I was trying to make the point was, you know, we talk about the Avengers and stuff like that. The issue I had with bar Iron Man 1 is the look of the films. You know, they all look the same.
Yep.
They all feel the same. Like, I don't feel like a director is actually bringing in his own mix.
Okay.
Like, it feels like the same tone.
Okay.
Like, the whole film... And it should, obviously, because they're creating one universe, right? Uh-huh. But then, I really wish it had its own... like, the direction style or even editing style and its own character. Like, that's what I love about, like, Hulk. Like, the whole comic strip moment. Not Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
But, you know... And I prefer Hulk way over Incredible Hulk because... Even though it's really weird, but that's what I like. But it's the eccentricity of that film, so that's what the issue I have with the, you know, Thor and Iron Man 2. And I still really say you watch Iron Man 2. It's not horrible as people make it out to be. It's okay. It suffices, right?
Other people like the Iron Man 2.
I think general people do, but critics didn't.
Okay.
I think they shared on it.
Critics.
So what are we on about?
So you're going to see Captain America.
I'm going to see Captain America because what I like, because the director who's doing it he'd done The Rocketeer.
Okay.
And I love The Rocketeer. Like, have you seen The Rocketeer?
No.
Okay, you should definitely watch The Rocketeer. Uh-huh. It is just awesome. Like, it's just fun. Is exactly why I hope Captain America will be.
Yeah.
It's actually in the vein of Indiana Jones.
Uh-huh.
And I really recommend watching that film.
Are there any... Okay, so what else are you planning on seeing?
Okay, so obviously...
If there's nothing else, just... What else is out this summer?
Well, just Transformers, right?
Okay.
Have
you seen the first two?
I like the first one, I'll say it, but two, I fucking hated. Like, that pains me.
Yeah.
Like, that movie was so bad, he was so up his own ass, and I know it has some of his own issues because the writers who didn't actually Star Trek, it was writer strike, so okay, they actually gave him like a 30-page spec script or something like that. Okay. So basically, they gave him nothing, right? And it's kind of like improv in a way, which you should not give to Michael Mann, Michael Bay. Sorry, not Michael Mann. God forbid. But Michael Mann's awesome, but Michael Bay.
I heard they're actually the same man.
But.
I've not seen Transformers 2, but I've seen Transformers 1. I'm a big Transformers original cartoon fan.
Oh, are you?
A very, very big fan. Like, ridiculous. I've got all the DVDs and a Transformers tattoo. That's how much I love Transformers.
Where?
It's on my shoulder.
Is it? I thought that was the Arsenal one. Okay. Cool.
But basically, the first Transformers film annoyed me. There were some okay moments, and I heard that the second one was worse than the first one, so I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
I've seen the trailer for the third one, and it looks as annoying as the second one. These films make a lot of money, though.
Oh, yeah.
How they make the money, I'm not sure, because they get slated by everyone and anyone that sees them.
Yeah. See, I think the first one was still okay. The issue, a massive issue I had, mostly from the first half, was the action when Bumblebee starts to fly. I can't tell what the fuck he's doing. It's like, it turns out to, you know, they're doing these odd shaky cam close angles, like something from Bourne Supremacy with the hand-in-hand combat. I'm like, that's not, I mean, these are big machines. You know, give us a wide shot, give us some slow motion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he just doesn't do that. And this is Michael Bay. This guy, like, there's the ultimate, like, wide shots, like in Bad Boys 2, you see a slow motion of everyone pulling out a gun, right? Like, so I was like, okay, I'm happy to see Transformers 1, because he'll get these big robots and do these big spectacles, because Bad Boys 2 does that, and 1 does that as well. Armageddon, okay, people hate it, it's hokey, but man, the shots in there, like, you get to see it. It's not like you see the asteroid, like, right in there, and you can't see it actually travelling to Earth. They actually give this wide shot of, it splitting and going over the over Earth, really.
Yeah.
Which is cool, you know, even though it's ridiculously stupid.
My main issue with Armageddon is Aerosmith. That's probably the only reason why I don't like it.
I loved it.
It's the film.
I did love it when it came out, but fuck do I hate it now. Like,
I wanna close my eyes. I don't know why I'm singing that song. it's epic in a horrible way.
And,
So you're going to see Transformers 3?
I will watch it because from the trailer, they actually look like they're going to show action.
They did look like there was a lot of action in that film.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the design of the robots.
Still bothers me.
Because they're kind of very grey, and they're fighting in cities, which is grey, I feel like you can't see things very clearly. And when they transform, it's very mixed up. So you get a lot of, nothing's as clear. It's very messed up, I feel, visually.
I mean, I do appreciate what I'm used to. Yeah, I do appreciate the effect that they pull off. Like transforming them, that's pretty cool. But the biggest issue, because even if you're a Transformers fan like yourself, I'm not, but I wanted to be through the film, right? Yeah. Because that's what it can do. That's a franchise at the end of the day, you know. Like, I didn't know Iron Man that well, but obviously through it, I like Iron Man. I care for the character, and you care for the other characters like Pepper Potts and Nick Fury and all these people. But then, in Transformers, I can't tell who is who, really. Even besides Optimus Prime and Bumblebee, I can't remember who Ironhide is and who Ratchet is, really, because they all look the same, right? And then on top of that, the villains, the Decepticons, they all look brown and grey. Like, I could not tell who was Barricade, I could not tell who was fucking, what else is the names?
I don't know, I can't remember the first film, because they didn't have all the
stories, second one, okay, you haven't seen it, right? Basically, Shia LaBeouf dies in near the end of the film. He goes to robot heaven.
Why does he go to robot heaven?
I haven't seen it since it came out. And God, that bothers me like fuck. Okay. Like, that drove me batshit insane. Like, I blame Michael Bay, but I don't blame the writers, because obviously they had the spec script. I mean, a lot of, because most films, they have that was in a draft. That was beginning, we know what a spec script is.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't go through like second or third draft enough time to basically, maybe mesh out this supposed robot heaven, right? And, Action was a bit better. Like, there's a moment where they're fighting a green forest, so it's not this annoying sandy brown or grey buildings, over, right? Mm-hmm. It was this green, so you could see the you could see the fighting really.
Yeah.
And they also look ridiculously realistic. And like, I actually thought Transformers were there. That's how good the effects
are. They
are
actually real. They built massive robots.
But yeah, so that's what I thought was good. Okay, so that's that one. And last one I want to talk about. Oh, actually, the other films I just came up with my mind. But, you know, I'm not a Harry Potter fan. Like, I've read the first book. I tried to read the second book. But I'm looking forward to the last movie.
Okay.
Because I actually enjoyed the part one because...
Which of the films have you seen? And which of the books have you read?
I've seen all the movies.
All the movies, and only read the first book.
Yeah.
I have watched part of one and two of the movies and read the first four books.
Okay.
I find, generally, the story at the end of Harry Potter kind of annoyed me. I don't really like J.K. Rowling's writing, and the films annoyed me because of the kids. But now they've grown up, maybe I should give them a chance. I've heard they're very good, the kids.
No. That's what I liked about actually part one, right? Like, a lot of people complained... You know, who don't know the lore. And I know, I don't really know it. I know there's like a Horcrux that you got to destroy and that will like kill Voldemort, which is fine. But the thing was, the first one was very slow, because nothing really happens, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm okay with that, actually, because what it does is it actually really enriches the characters.
Mm-hmm.
I think they haven't done that for a while. Because what the problem with all the Harry Potter films is, first you have kids who can't, because of kid actors, they can't act that well, right? You can't show off their character that well. And they just go move from plot point to plot point. And they just talk in exposition. That's all they do.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, in the third one, there's exposition and they do talk about what's going to happen. But the characters, they actually come to life in it. They actually talk about the issues they're going to raise. Yeah, so you care for it. You care. And it's actually... What it does, it actually builds the world of Harry Potter really well. And that's why I'm looking forward to the second one. Because the second one... Because they've already done the building the foundation kind of thing.
Okay, yeah.
And now the second one is basically going to just go balls out and just do the action that we all wanted. Like some wizardry fights, right? Because none of them really done it. Like, I like third one and...
third what?
Movie, right?
So this is the eighth film, isn't it?
Well, yeah, eighth.
It's the part, second like, seven, part of the
yeah,
seventh
yeah, yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But with... But I do like, about the third one, I like just on its own. I thought it had good enough character beats. I like the teacher who turns out to be a wolf, a man, and you've read the book.
Spoilers!
And I loved Gary Oldman. I loved that, you know, how they completely showed him as a villain.
Okay.
And then suddenly you realise he's actually not a villain in any way. He's actually a good guy who's kind of just got a bit mental because what are the screaming people called?
You read the books? I forget. Yeah, I did read them when I was a child.
Really?
Yeah, Harry Potter.
How old are these books?
Harry Potter came out when you were 12 and I was... when you were 10 and I was 9.
Really?
And that's when I read them, mate.
Shit. Okay, but anyway, those guys, like, fucked up a guy in Roman, so fine, that's fine. But okay, so that's that. And the other movie... Oh, I completely forgot about it. There's Cowboys and Aliens, but I think...
I've not heard of that.
Yeah.
Let me look it up.
That's Jon Favreau's new movie, and it's got Daniel Craig in it with Harrison Ford. And basically, that is the story of the movie.
Cowboys and Indians?
No, versus Aliens. Cowboys and Aliens. Sorry, I keep getting confused with toilet.
How have I not heard of such a ridiculous sounding movie? I prefer reading it on the Wikipedia page. That's what I went to here. It has a clearly nail-out plot. This makes no sense. But I hate Daniel Craig.
Really?
Yeah, I really do.
We'll talk about it some other time, right? Okay, but
layer cake's rubbish.
I love layer cake, but we'll talk about it. I'm kind of looking forward to it, but the problem I have with Jon Favreau is I think he does great. He's a great actor director, so he'll get the actors to do the job and really portray the story and make it work rather than being his boring people and stilted. But he doesn't really do the action that well. Like, even Iron Man 2, he only does one great action moment, and you kind of see in the trailer when Whiplash comes out, which is Mickey Rourke. And that scene is awesome. Like, it's really tense. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not dark, it's just tense. And it's just, you see Iron Man in trouble for once. Like, because in Iron Man 1, the action is awful. Like, there's just nothing to it. It's just boring. and you know, because the villain is just. I mean, I would love to see two robots fight, but as long as it's done interesting way.
Mm-hmm.
But they just don't do that. But at least in that F1 scene, it's pretty great. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to Cowboys and Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I'm kind of looking
forward. That trailer. It looked hilarious when I saw it. I was sitting there and I wasn't sure when the trailer started. I wasn't sure what it was. And I saw Monkey Get Intelligent. And I was like, what is this madness? And then I remembered there's a prequel to the Planet of the Apes film. I think I'm definitely going to have to see that because I'm hoping it's funny because I don't think it can be good.
Really? Why?
I think the concept's too dumb to be good.
What makes it so dumb? I think because what I think they're playing. Okay, before you slap me, the look you're giving me, because the way I see they're playing is like a zombie movie, but with apes.
But yeah, at the end of almost all zombie movies, you defeat the zombies. This can't happen.
No, you don't. Not really. Besides, no, they just try to survive. That's all that happens.
But you can't survive. You know what happens at the end of Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah,
Planet of the Apes has risen. The Planet of the Apes becomes. There are Planet of the Apes films that this is a prequel to.
Yeah, but you, same in X-Men, that you know what's going to happen, but you still enjoy the journey to it, right?
But how do you imagine this journey to go?
Okay, that's true. But
this isn't a journey. This is apes running around.
Okay, but
intelligent apes.
Okay, but what I found funny was, and I love James Franco for some reason, and because he's going a bit crazy. I think he's getting to the point where he's becoming psychotic.
Uh-huh.
Like every decision he makes is just weird, right? Mm-hmm. And I heard he fucked up the Oscars, but I don't care for that. But, like, you know, he was pretty good in 127 Hours, but he worked on, like, a soap opera called General Hospital.
Okay.
And clearly, and he's, like, and he was in Pineapple Express.
He was in Pineapple Express.
And he's pretty weird and cool in that. And I like that, you know, he's going through a weird journey, and I kind of agree. When I saw James Franco in The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, I thought he just take the piss out of a scientist. Like, he just looked like I killed the actual scientist and I'm impersonating him, because just the way he says it, I got a cure, you know, I have the power. And it just, like, it looks ridiculous, and it's just like I think he's actually abusing the apes.
Okay. Have you, another summer film, have you heard about Bridesmaids?
Yes.
It's come out in America already. Critics say it's good.
Yeah.
Didn't take as much money, but it came out at the same time.
It made a lot of money.
But it came out at the same time as Hangover 2. It's been had a lot of comparisons to Hangover 2.
No, but the Hangover 2 obviously is going to be big.
Obviously.
Because the first movie made so much money. But the thing was, Bridesmaid, right?
Yeah.
Didn't seem to be that hyped up, but it made it's already made $100 million in the US.
You're $100 million. Let me check how much it's made.
Yeah, it's made $100 million, at least.
It really has. It's made $129 million. It's a lot of money. Are you planning on seeing it when it's over?
I want to, but
I
need to watch it with someone, and I don't need to go.
Well, I'm planning on seeing it.
Yeah, but you're going to go watch your girlfriend, aren't you, I imagine?
My girlfriend is in a different country, but that's
really?
Or there. Yeah.
Where is she?
Just one. She's in Malaysia.
Is she Malay?
Her grandparents live there, but she's not Malay.
Okay, cool.
Needed for the content.
No, I'm just saying, because she looked Indian to me,
She's
Indian.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't want to be racist after she's Indian. And then I'm like, oh, great, now I'm being racist.
Have you seen the trailer for Bridesmaids?
Yeah.
What do you think? I saw the trailer and thought the trailer was rubbish.
Really?
Shit. I thought it was, you know, comedy trailers often. You want them to put in comedy moments so it's funny.
Yeah.
You don't want to put all the comedy moments in the film. But you don't want the bad comedy moments in the film, and that's what I felt they did. I didn't laugh at the jokes they had in the film. I thought it was stupid.
I'm trying to remember any part that I thought was pretty funny. I think I actually like the John Hamm moment when he's trying to tell her to get lost, because it was kind of
what is that?
You know, at the start, I don't know which trailer you saw. It's the one where he, you know, because they both wake up, right?
Okay,
and he's trying to hint to.
Oh yeah, I saw that. But then.
But then after that, it falters. After that, I think it falters a lot more. But I think I'm happy that they fucked up. Like, I mean, I can see where they're going with the jokes, right? But I'm happy they don't show off the jokes. I'd rather see it in context rather than be ruined. Because I think that's what a lot of comedies do. They just fuck it. They take out all the jokes. Even in a comic book movie, there's a funny moment and they just take it out because you've seen it so many times, yeah. That trailer. When it comes to the movie, no one laughs. Even though it's a funny moment.
But I'm being enticed to watch this film purely out of critical hype.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't want to be misled.
But I fucking hate... what's her name? Not the lead. I actually like her name. Oh my god, what's her name? Kristen Wiig, yeah. But fuck, do I hate Maya Rudolph.
Why do you hate Maya Rudolph?
She's the worst actress. She's not funny in SNL. I mean, I hate SNL anyway.
Oh!
Well, recent SNL's awful. Come on, man. Have you seen any of
it? I watched the various clips when they
came out. Oh, the clips are great.
But you know, yeah. That's only the funny ones.
Yeah, but dude, that's a 1-hour show.
Yeah.
Right? Every Saturday. Mm-hmm. And it has one hit, like, every year. You know, like, comes out. Mm-hmm. But the rest is awful. Because all they do is just, like, play these really obvious jokes about the politicians.
Okay.
And it's just like someone wears Obama kind of lookalike and then says, I am not going to attack communism because, you know, because that's the joke. He's scared of socialism, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's very basic, boring jokes, okay. SNL. And that Maya Rudolph does the same shit. And, I don't know. Most people hate Rose Byrne, but I like her. And I mean, she seems like she's really a kind of bitchy girl in here. But yeah, she's Moira from X-Men.
She is Moira.
Yeah. and you know, the guy from It Crowd is in it.
Chris O'Dowd.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I like him.
I would love if Richard Iodi was in it though.
Yeah, Richard Iodi. He's too busy directing films. Yeah,
submarine. But we won't talk about that. We're running a bit too long on this part. I'll probably watch on DVD.
And okay, I'm gonna watch it in the cinema.
It's coming out next week.
Because I care about women.
No, but it's coming out next week, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know, because I want to watch Bad Teacher. That looked kind of funny.
No, Bad Teacher does not look funny.
It does.
Bad Teacher looks. I saw the advert with my friend, and I was like, this is ridiculous. And then when it came up with the name Bad Teacher, what a lazy name.
That is pretty lazy. But you know, I did love the line, and it made me chuckle really hard, was when Jason Segel goes to the, you know, when they're doing the dodgeball scene, he's like, Jason Segel's like, hey, Twilight, you don't hit through her. And, you know, because he calls him Twilight, as because the kid looks like Robert Pattinson, you know, the whole fucking hair.
That is not a funny joke.
That was funny.
Another film coming out this summer.
What?
I mentioned it before we turned on the recording. Honey 2. It's a street dance film. I like street dance films. I watched Step Up 2 - Streets about 6 months ago, and I really loved it.
Are you kidding?
Like Save the Last Dance. You've Got Served.
Save the Last Dance is awful.
I love...
You Got Served is racist. It's just so fucking dumb.
These films are entertaining in a really...
What's the other one with the fraternity one? It's the one where it's got two guys, two guys warring against each other and they're frat brothers.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I can't remember, but it's just so hilariously retarded.
I also like, what are those cheerleading films called?
I don't know. I'm betting one is Just Go With It or something.
No, there's a series that I'm really...
Get Over It.
No.
Just Bring It.
Yeah, Bring It On. Bring It On. I have watched the first four Bring It Ons, and they're all rubbish in an excellent way. These dance films, they can't be ignored. No, no, no. They're really popular nowadays.
James, teenagers
go and watch them. Teenagers go and watch them as much as they watch. Honey 2 is going to be more watched than Attack the Block, which you spoke about.
Attack the Block flopped here.
Exactly.
I think I've got blocked it.
What do you think that 12-year-old girls want to go see at the cinema? They see Honey 2.
All my sisters want to watch Green Lantern because of Ryan Reynolds.
Why do you think that they make these films? Popular?
I guess. I think they make these films. They're not popular, but they make enough money to make a profit because they get they make it for $10 million maximum, right, or something like that. And you know, when you release it, that enough people go in that it'll make $10 million in its first weekend, and then by the end of it, it'll double its profit.
Have you watched Britain's Got Talent ever?
No, I don't watch it.
Every single year they have these bullshit street dancing things. This thing is ridiculously popular. Kids love it. I don't know why, but the films they make are hilarious. Not on purpose, but you, I think, James, if I think you want to like comic relief, you should watch it. I don't,
James, I think I have to actually edit this out. We're going to lose a lot of credibility. Or you're going to lose a lot
you
of credibility.
You have no credibility anyway.
How do I not have credibility?
Because you have said that you want to watch Transformers 3.
Yeah, but I bet a lot of people listening to this will still give it a go.
What, Transformers 3?
Yeah. I hate to. I fucking hate to. Don't forget, I criticised the fuck out of it.
Okay, so, I don't know why we're recording this, but who do you think's going to be listening? Like, what's the demographic? Who do you think wants to watch Transformers 3?
Well, okay, Dean, you don't think it's going to be a big hit?
I don't know. There's a big difference between big hit and people that
listening. Okay, this is why, right?
I think, like I said, these street dance films are going to be a big hit.
Okay, this is why, right?
But they won't watch it necessarily.
Because most people, who genuinely hate, a lot of people did hate it, right? But I think general audiences didn't really hate it because obviously that's why it was a big hit, right? Because that's funny because people kept going and watching it again and again. But people like who basically turned their brains on and watched this movie, right? Like you and I. Oh, well, you didn't watch... Did you watch two?
I watched Transformers.
When I watched it, right, I hate it, but because the other thing is, I am also up to date with the production of that movie, right? Because I'm that kind of... Because if I can think that way, because I'm always up to date with these kind of movie news, and I know...
Up to date with new news of Transformers.
Okay, so what I'll give you the production news of Transformers is, because they're shooting with 3D cameras...
Yeah.
They can't actually do annoying shaky cam, or they can't do quick cuts,
yeah,
which Michael Bay does.
Yeah.
And they have to do a lot of stable shots.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, he can't do what he likes to do.
And so you're saying that it's going to be better because of the 3D film. It being in 3D is going to make it better.
Not because of the
restrictions that 3D has given it.
Yeah, to him, the way he's going to produce that film.
And that's why you're looking forward to it.
Yeah, because even from the trailers, I can see what's happening. Like we talked about, right?
Okay.
Like I can actually see what's happening. And it looks like... You
also claimed that Rise of the Planet Apes didn't look hilarious. And
no.
It definitely looked hilarious.
I did think James...
And you also said you wanted to see Bad Teacher.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I said I'm interested, but
it is recorded.
I can edit that. I can edit this out. I did say that, but I also said James Franco does look hilarious. I did say that.
Right.
Because he does. I genuinely thought he killed the scientist and replaced him. I think that is gonna be the ending of the film where you find like a dead body of someone. You can actually look for a synopsis. Okay, so that's our summer movie part.
That was long.
That was fucking long.
That was long.
I think I might actually.
I'm sorry. That was, it's going to be a forward to that editing process.
But, you know, James, the way I like it is long and hard. Okay, we'll be back.
I don't.
Okay, now, so we're back, and this time we're going to talk about before we talk about Game of Thrones, this is the what we consumed section.
Not
the
food, it's like, like watching stuff, things like that.
But it's just better than saying...
Consumed in the wider sense of the words, not only food.
We should actually talk about that.
I had a double cheeseburger from McDonald's today.
Yesterday I went to Wagamama's and had Ebri Sukarai.
That sounds like you can't pronounce it.
But it's really nice. And first time I had dumplings, man, because I don't know why, but I've never had dumplings before. And they're fine.
We have both been watching a show on that's been really good. Really, took me by surprise.
Yeah, we watch here on Sky Atlantic.
Sky Atlantic, yeah.
HD. I watch in HD.
I don't watch in HD. I've got HD, but not HD TV. I've got Sky HD, but not HD TV.
Dude, you can see.
Is it even better?
Yeah,
we haven't told them.
I need to watch it on Blu-ray, right? Like, because I realize like the difference between like HD like on the cable is completely different from Blu-ray, like.
Mm-hmm.
Like the colouring.
I've never watched a Blu-ray before.
Oh, you haven't?
No, because I'm poor.
No, you're not really that poor.
I don't have a PlayStation 3. is basically I have a PlayStation 3 desire to buy Blu-rays.
I need to buy another PS3 because my PS3 is broke, kind of thing.
Awkward.
Like, no.
Before we need to tell them what we've been watching. Okay. But I want to... is there a way we can do it? I don't think there is a way
we can do it. No, we're going to spoil this. Sorry. So I'm going to... But I'll time this all and put in the text. So I didn't make that with you.
I'll time your face. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm a slappy there. I wish I did.
Okay.
No, I'll do the timing. So obviously, we'll talk about it. When you're talking about
X-Men. There's a war coming, Ned.
okay. We'll, so like with X-Men, I'm going to time all of it, but yeah, it's most of this podcast is spoilers, because we genuinely don't give a fuck.
And
Game of Thrones, we're going to like spoil it, but before we go to that spoiler part straight away, which we care about, we're going to talk about just like the starting of it. I think just the universe maybe, or something, like,
of Game of Thrones. Yeah, okay, let's talk about it. Game of Thrones. Well, I don't know, firstly, I'm guessing you like Game of Thrones.
I really do like Game of Thrones.
Why did you decide to watch it?
The hype. You know, everybody's talking about it, and obviously the book is meant to be.
You read the book?
No, I've not read the book.
What's the book's like, Ice and Fire?
Song of Ice and Fire. Sorry. It's written by George R.R. Martin. He wrote the 8th episode, so the one before this.
Yes, I remember reading that on the old internet. People going, "Oh, I read a book." I'm not really a fan of fantasy things.
Okay.
The fantasy genre.
Mm-hmm.
But my housemate was like, "Watch it, it'll be good." And I was like, "It won't be good." But it draws you in, mainly because it's just ridiculous. So good.
No, it has this awesome, like, pull to you, and, like, a lot of people had an issue with, like, the first couple of episodes, because there's a lot of exposition, and people just talking, and...
But I think they handled it well by mixing up exposition. Exposition. They mixed up exposition with just ridiculous scenes of gore and violence and...
Shagging. We're British people, we say shagging.
The delivery of lines, and I think it looks great as well, and it's all... The way they set up the world is you might get bored, but before you can get bored, they give you a massive dramatic moment, so you never stop getting bored. You'll scream at every moment a horse's head gets chopped off.
Oh, that moment.
I think that's one of my favourite parts.
I think that's when I knew I loved this show. Like, I liked it.
I agree.
Like, the first two episodes were good, but I did find Sansa really fucking annoying. Okay. Like, I was tempted to stab her. Like, if I see her on the street, I would fucking chase her down the road and stab her. Okay. But I would cut her ginger hair out first. I mean, I don't have anything against ginger.
Racist.
Gingers are not a race, okay?
It could be.
Look, we're not going to go to a South Park discussion here.
Well, I'm just saying. I like people with any hair colour.
No, some girls... No.
No, this is not for this podcast. Okay, no, so going back to...
Okay, some people look good in ginger hair, okay?
Oh yeah, he hates gingers.
I like Simon Pegg. Very attractive.
I felt that moment really hit home to me when I saw it. It's grown every episode. I don't think it's got better. I can't remember which was my favourite episode.
I think my favourite one is...
It's got better and better. Yeah. The actors have got better and better. The characters have got better and better. There's certain characters like the Khaleesi. What's her?
Daenerys. Yeah.
Her character went from being quite annoying at the start to amazing.
Annoying? She got raped, buddy, and got sold after a brother.
Basically, all she did at the start was kind of be silent and rubbish. You can't blame her. I'm not blaming her. But I'm saying, if you didn't know the story, you would imagine that she's just there as... she's not there as an actress or a character. She's just...
A plot device.
Used by her brother. But she turns into an amazing character.
Yeah, I understand that.
You're quite worried about by the... What was the last episode?
People's Need... Isn't it? Oh, fuck, go and check it. Okay. IMDb that shit. but what was I on about? God, I can't remember now. Yeah, Game of Thrones. Damn, this came pretty good reviews. But, so, what are you doing?
I'm looking for the episodes.
It's there, buddy.
Mate, I don't go on IMDb. As you can see. So, yeah, there's
You've got the bomb. Baylor.
Baylor, episode 9. So, I was worried about her in episode 9.
Oh, man, I wasn't.
Why weren't you worried about her?
Because I think the problem... I mean, I was worried about her, but I think... I don't know which way you are. I was not worried about her life, because I think... Because obviously, because she's still being developed in my
opinion. Okay, so yeah, I know what you're saying. I wasn't worried about her because the development of the show wouldn't make much sense if she died. Because
she's a driving force.
Yeah, she's got places to go.
Where Stark isn't. Eddard Stark.
That's a very good point. I was talking about my friend. That's why it was shocking when he died, but it makes sense to
he doesn't kill have it. Because one of the people, like, you know, you look at Stark, you think he's the perfect guy to be the king of the realm, really.
The gamiest of thrones.
Yeah. He's going to win the king of games.
He's definitely going to win the game.
But, you know, you think he's like a perfect fit, but really he's really surprisingly naive, which kind of shocked me, because clearly he kind of knows the world is so cruel. Like in the first episode, we realized,
yeah,
like, you know, he introduces his son and chops a man's head off because he knows this world is really cruel.
Yeah.
Right? But then he doesn't realize it himself at the end. Like, he thinks that King's word will really matter.
Indeed, yeah.
Which, I mean, maybe I just realized that now, that actually comes out even as a writing flaw more than a character flaw.
What's a writing flaw?
Because he knows the cruelty of the world, so he shouldn't have expected. Naivety should not have been that much. He shouldn't have such a high level of naivety.
The reason why I don't want to get in too deep into Sean Bean's mind, Ned's mind. the main reason why he agreed to that was because he didn't want his daughters to be harmed. I think that he obviously didn't think that he would die, but he was doing it for his daughters more so.
No, I'm not talking about that part. I'm not talking about him confessing. I'm talking about the part when he challenges Cersei and Joffrey.
I think that was naive, but that's different from him at the start, if you know what I mean.
I do.
He lives by, you know, the word.
I guess so.
And that's why he does it. He didn't do it out of cruelty. If he's a man that lives it by the code, by the code he had to chop off.
I understand that, but what I'm actually trying to argue is he knows that the world is cruel, right? That's my point. He's saying this is the world we live in, right, to his son in the first one.
Yeah,
right? but he kind of should have known that is.
But he knows that the world is cruel due to the rules that have been defined by what he thinks is honor.
Okay.
And those rules were broken when he got clearly turned on. Game of Thrones, very shocked by it. I'm very surprised that I liked it. I expected to hate it, and it's amazing. If the whole show was rubbish apart from the horse's head getting chopped off, I still would say it's the best thing I've ever watched.
Really?
No, I'm not going over the top. Yeah. I don't like it as much as other things, but it's definitely better than Boardwalk Empire, for example. Something else that people like.
Have you seen it?
I've watched Boardwalk Empire.
I'm taking my time to watch it because, like, the pilot's like 1.5 hours.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
And I was just like, so I think long. I want to take my. I will watch it because I've watched, like, I watched The Wire, and you know, yep. The Wire, first,
brilliant.
But the first 4 or 5 episodes, I didn't understand a word people were saying.
Oh.
Look, I don't understand, like, the lingo, okay, but I've obviously...
You've obviously never sold drugs. I think a lot of our listeners probably have done that, and that's a gap in your knowledge.
That's the kind of core audience we're going for. Yeah, that's
the kind of... I'm really hoping for Stringer Bell listening now.
Yeah, well, we kind of talked about him anyway, but...
Yeah, we did. That's twice in the podcast.
And he's my favourite character in The Wire. Well, he was.
Oh, another spoiler.
He runs away into the sunset.
He does. He finds a wife.
So I actually do want to talk about the ending, like, you know, the proper, like, so far what we've seen and maybe what we're expecting now in the last episode.
The last episode, yeah.
So obviously that moment, I was shocked, kind of, like, obviously because we've not read. I don't know. Have you read? You haven't read the books. No, so we haven't read the books. So we didn't know what was coming. And what I liked about it was. Because
From because I heard like the reaction, because we in the UK we get a day later, so we could but we obviously knew the reaction. Like a lot of fans were upset the fact of what happened. But
did you read about?
No, I didn't know what happened.
But I didn't know.
But I didn't know what happened. But I knew that something happened that pissed off.
Okay, I didn't know anything was going
on. So I thought what people were getting pissed off was with the whole Khal Drogo thing, because he got infected, and people just thought that was annoying, because obviously in the episode before they clearly say out, oh, I hope he doesn't get an infection.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that's what people were getting annoyed about, like, oh, it's so obvious that was going to happen, and now they're killing him so easily.
Quick question, you mentioned it, but I want to make this point. Khal Drogo.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to die?
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know, because... Okay,
Khal Drogo cannot die.
No, I see him... No, see, I think he can die, because...
How?
This is why, and obviously we don't know, but okay, so this is how I kind of see it. Because, why I don't see it is because obviously Ned's been killed, and I don't see, like, he is kind of like maybe the reason that that realm could have been saved. Like, Ned was the force that could have saved the realm. From the Dothrakians.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, obviously you got that killed, so now you kind of have like this now lack of hope for the realm, really, Westeros. And I can see that. And if you kill Khal Drogo, it'll have no momentum. And it could get rid of the momentum of like this war happening, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the issue right now is, what you can argue is you're having this awesome civil war in Westeros, right? With, is it Robert? Robert Stark, right? He's the oldest son.
Yeah.
So you're having this awesome moment with him. Who's done great, actually, in the last two episodes.
Yep.
He's become this really boring person, in my opinion, to someone who's really mad at, because you think he's just going to be this, like, guy who's going to try and probably die. That's what you really think. He could still die.
not anyone could die. He could still die.
And Joffrey's a bastard.
Yeah.
And he actually is a bastard. But going back, with the Khal Drogo thing, so if they get rid of that, they kind of kill the momentum in terms of what the Dothrakians are doing.
Yeah.
And what he could do is do the exact same thing what's happening in Westeros, which is a civil war of who should take over.
No, because that's not how the Dothrakians work.
No, because...
We've seen a bit... They value strength, so the Khaleesi has... She can't fight. My guy can't protect her, so they have no choice. If Khal Drogo dies,
right,
then there's no reason for the Dothrakians to go to do anything apart
from
rape and pillage.
No, that's my point, though, that there won't be that driving force to fight that war in Westeros.
Exactly. So that's why Khal Drogo can't die. Because otherwise that part of the story is superfluous to the rest of the story. You could have been annexed and you would have made no difference to the actual plot.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I'm just thinking. I mean, yeah, what I can see is it can just turn out to be a.
If Khal Drogo dies, then Khaleesi will die straight away.
No, she won't die.
She used black magic and she hasn't run away. It clearly says, the man goes, this was our time to run, we could have been across the hills, and now she can't get away. He's going to get better, be angry, maybe turn into a devil, go across the sea, fuck things up, rip someone else's tongue out, and be the king of all the Seven Kingdoms, because I love him.
Damn, I just nearly reached climax there. Damn. We kind of talked about future, but I don't know what the last episode would hold, really.
Is there enough time in one episode to do all the things that could possibly happen?
Well, if you think about the last episode, done a lot. I mean, Robert kind of got Jaime Lannister and complete. Oh, that was awesome.
Very good.
Because you seem Tyrion Lannister so smart, and he seems like he knows what's going on, and but obviously he doesn't care for the Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
He's
not playing the game.
He's not playing the game. He had a choice, didn't he? And he didn't choose it. That's what they tell. And so clearly, but you know he's smart enough, and so it's quite awesome that Robert's outsmarted him, even though he sacrificed 2,000 people. And again, I can't believe we haven't talked about it, but Tyrion is just fucking amazing. The small Peter Dinklage, just like the way he talks. And
at the start,
right?
He's quite annoying because he.
What?
I'll tell you why. Because everything's like, so you'll walk into a room and he'll be like, "Oh, why are you sad?" And he'll be like, I've hurt my leg, and then it'll be like, well, I'm a dwarf, and this is what dwarves think. Oh, have you got a horse? I'm a dwarf with a horse. Oh, and he's kind of
okay.
He's hammy, but very entertaining. He grew on
me,
which is funny because he's short. He grew on me by the end, but at the start he's so cheesy. But I think the start of it was hard for me to get into, and by the end I did. He was one of my favourite characters. There was that one episode in the middle where he wasn't in, and me and my housemates were just like, oh, where's the imp? I missed the imp.
No, we should call the podcast the imp.
Yeah, maybe, because that would at least make much more sense than the unnamed movie name podcast.
Which is an
issue for later.
I think we might actually have to end it out while recording it. Like we have a we'll have a robot voice and say, you know, I don't know, the blah podcast. I was thinking we should call it. You know, I like movies, you know, but then I thought that was awful. Then
we could call it anything, really. I like the name. I'm lying. I only said that to make you feel better.
Why are you such a dick then? We've actually committed to like 2 hours of recording and call this goddamn thing that. Like, this guy.
No, but seriously, Game of Thrones, what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
I'm hoping in this next episode, well, I'm imagining there's going to be another series. The next episode is the last episode of the series, is that right?
Yeah.
So I imagine what I really think is going to happen is kind of like a convergence of different people coming to, King's Landing.
King's Landing, yeah.
So I imagine we're going to see Khal Drogo and his horde being at the shore, about to get on ships to go over.
Yeah.
We're going to see Rob outside the gates.
Mm.
We possibly might see the king's brother.
Yeah, I think
one of the brothers. They might appear. And but I don't think we're going to see the action. We're not going to see a war. But we might see the tentative beginnings of what the start of the next series might
be. I think the way it'll end is there will be a settlement between Winterfell and King's Landing, in the sense Robbie will give Jaime Lannister back for his two sisters.
Okay.
Because that's what's more important.
Okay.
Because obviously he'll find out his dad. And okay, I think either, because I don't think Jaime Lannister will die because he hasn't been explored as a character yet.
Yeah.
And clearly the Gact himself is, I think he's pretty decent when he's been on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a lot more obviously to him because I'm not even sure he knows that Joffrey is his son.
Okay.
I because they haven't said that, have they? Right. I think when he says he knows.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know if he knows.
Yes.
What is another strand that we haven't mentioned, but was mentioned at the start, ignored for a very long time, it's now started coming in, the White Walkers. Would they have a part to play?
I don't see.
Or would they wait till the next series?
They will kind of keep it to the war moment at the moment.
For about five episodes, no one has mentioned the fact that winter is coming, and that is relevant. That is relevant for some reason, because they mentioned it over and over again.
Well, haven't they mentioned it the last five episodes?
I can't... I'm not being exact, because I can't remember everything. Okay. But for at least two. But then the zombie came back. Zombies. Do you remember the zombies?
Yeah, I know they attacked
White Walkers could start be doing all sorts of shit.
Yeah, I mean, that first...
There are so many strands...
Yeah.
That could possibly happen.
Well, I think I've heard that dragons will be back in Game of Thrones.
Do you reckon by not by next episode? Sure.
Oh no! I'm talking about like season three, if there is one, which I'm really worried about because it's doing all right for game like for HBO right now. But I'm not sure because obviously Rome got cancelled, Deadwood got cancelled, and those shows don't look expensive as Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but Game of Thrones is very good.
Yeah, but the problem is you need the ratings, and Deadwood was doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
So was what's the other one I said got cancelled?
Rome.
Yeah, Rome. I know Rome wasn't doing that well.
Shit.
Yeah, but people love Rome. I haven't seen it. Really? I haven't seen it, but I've heard people love it. Okay, so that's Game of Thrones. I think we talked a lot about that.
We did.
Okay, so I think because I got a bit more to talk about, so I'll quickly talk about what I've been watching lately. So one of the films I watched recently was Fright Night. This is the 1985 film. It's directed by Tom Holland.
I watched it basically because, you know, I saw the trailer for the new one, and I was thinking, yeah, I like to, because I love, like, 80s movies and the horror. No, I love them.
I hate them.
Oh, you hate them?
Yeah, my opinion's more important than yours.
Okay, yeah. No, but I love them because it's so campy at some points. Well, they are just completely campy, and I kind of love that sometimes. It's very... But, yeah, so the movie itself is pretty good. I like the guy, the main guy, he's kind of annoying. But I like the premise, in a sense. Like, in the sense of... mainly because of Peter Vincent, who's actually... Oh, yeah, so the storyline is a guy... he's, you know, a kid, he's like 18 or something, lives in his house, and a neighbor moves in, and he realizes there's a lot of dead bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And coming... No, not dead bodies, but it's like something's happening. Like, something's happening to women. And one night, he clearly sees the guy having, like, actually... having sex with her, but then suddenly turns into a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts the girl through the window. Mm-hmm. So then he's like, yeah, he's a vampire. And then he basically looks at this TV show, Peter Vincent, late night show, and he's like he's basically a fake vampire killer.
Mm-hmm.
But he's thinking, okay, he knows all the lore, so mm-hmm. that's good enough for him to kill the vampire, really. Yeah. And, you know, but Peter Vincent himself doesn't believe it because he knows he's an actor and he just doesn't care for it. But he's just like, I don't want to talk about it anymore because I think I do recommend watching it.
Yeah.
I think it's a good film. I mean, or you can just wait for the new one. But the new one, they kind of changed a lot of, like, just from the trailers I can tell, they changed a lot. Yeah. Like, Peter Vincent in the new one, he's more of like a performer.
He's played by
David Tennant.
Okay, then. Yeah,
yeah, and Colin Farrell is playing the vampire.
Oh. Do love a bit of Colin Farrell.
I do like him, and
I don't actually. But really? I was being sarcastic. I can't think of a good film he's been in.
Bruges.
Oh, I loved in Bruges. Touché, my good friend.
I can't remember what else he's actually liked him in. Oh, no, I didn't like.
You loved him in Phone Booth, didn't you?
Phone Booth, I liked.
Being sarcastic again.
I liked it. I know you're being sarcastic. Of course you were, but I didn't. But you said loved. I said I liked. Okay. And I liked him in. What's that? Is it Tigerland? Yeah, Tigerland's pretty good. I can't remember. That's not directed by Terrence Malick. I can't remember. But anyway.
What else are you saying?
Okay, sorry. Fuck it. I recommend that watch. And one thing I love about 80s movies is just the way they talk, you know. There's always like some guy named Johnny, and they always say, "Hey, Johnny, what's going on?" You have that really annoying weirdo, you know. Just the way they talk in the 80s. That
seems really annoying and weird, but I have no idea what you're talking about.
In most 80s movies, they have, like, have you seen The Lost Boys?
No, I tend to avoid 80s movies.
Ah, man, okay, so we're going to have an issue with this future podcast, because, like, I'm going to show a lot of 80s movies.
Basically, I watch good films, that's the problem.
No, 80s movies...
Okay. I watch good films. No, you seem to watch bad films.
It's still enjoyable.
You should spend more time watching good films.
Oh, we'll talk about what you think are good films, then. Okay. We'll talk... All right, what did you just watch?
I haven't watched any films recently. I only watch TV.
Okay.
So I've watched the Lead Balloons back. It's a comedy starring Jack D.
I don't know who that is.
Jack D, you don't know Jack D. He's the miserable comedian bloke. Do you not watch television?
Not really.
Television is better than films. And I'll tell you
sometimes,
why.
Sometimes, yeah.
No, all the time. I'll tell you why. Because it's short.
Okay.
And it's, for all intents and purposes, free. So basically.
Well, yeah, but I just don't care for British... I mean, I know who Jack D probably is. I just don't know. I know him by face, but I obviously don't know him by name.
Lead Balloon. I've been watching that.
Oh, isn't that the guy with the Welsh guy in it?
No.
No?
There's no Welsh guys in it. It's funny. It's still funny. It's like British sitcoms have been really awful for a very long time, and the BBC have put on some awful ones, because, like Life of Riley and
because Mrs. They're all multi-camera shows, aren't they? Like typical, like, you know, the local, like Friends or High on Mother.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Canned laughter stuff.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
There's no good single camera kind of like Scrubs-esque.
But Lead Balloon isn't a multi-camera. It's single camera.
Okay, cool.
I don't really. But it's not shown the same way as your typical.
Okay,
it's a little bit different. I'll tell you what it is. It's not exactly a translation of Curb Your Enthusiasm to UK, but that's the style that it tries to do, but slightly less awkward. Actually, no, slightly more awkward. You actually dislike Jack D in this a lot
more. Well, I do.
Because I find him lovable in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Well, Larry David.
Yeah,
I do love him. Like he just,
I find him lovable. He gets himself into sticky situations, and that's basically the same thing that happens.
And he's not bad intentioned.
Yeah, but this is what happens in Lead Balloon. Is he gets himself into similar comic situations, but they're all definitely his own through his own arrogance.
Okay, so I'm gonna talk about another movie that I just watched. It just came out recently on DVD and Blu-ray. I watched Adjustment Bureau. Started by George Nolfi. I think it's his first directed movie. It's got Matt Damon in it and what's her name? Rosie Blunt or something?
Oh, I can't. I'll look
it up. Emily Blunt.
Yeah, I didn't have to look it up. Amazing.
Yeah. So the movie itself is very. It's got a wildlife-based sci-fi concept, basically.
Carry on. No, sorry, I was just saying. We'll talk about that later.
Sorry about that. But okay, we were talking. So the story is. So the story is James. What's his name now? Matt Damon. That's called cool. James Damon.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon is a politician, up and rising, and he's meant to he's meant to have this awesome career, and suddenly he gets with this girl, Emily Blunt, but then suddenly these guys with these 60s kind of look, or 50s I'd say, with the fedoras and whatnot, are trying to stop him from seeing her, and it turns out because his destiny is not with her.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be the short stuff of it. But what I liked about this film, actually, is... yeah, it's a sci-fi movie. Because what Matt Damon does is try to fight against that destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to choose that he wants to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
And what I liked about it is... it's actually more of a love story than a sci-fi movie.
Okay.
But it's not like a hokey love story. It's not like I love you, I miss you, no kissing in the rain kind of bullshit, right? Yeah. It's just like, it's believable. You believe the chemistry, you believe that, and they're very likable people, and they have a very different, distinction character. Matt Damon is the kind of, his character is very aggressive, but he's kind of... but he does kind of follow the rules. But it's because Emily Blunt makes him go off the rules kind of thing. Mm-hmm. She's like, because she's very free-spirited. And so you get that, and you get that through the movie. That's a good thing. They're not archetypal. Not completely archetypal. Obviously, you need it to have an understanding. Mm-hmm. that's what I liked about it. And there's not much action, but just the character interaction is really great. And just gotta say one thing, Matt Damon knows how to fucking run. I mean, fuck, that's...
does he run really well? What's his running style? Good sprint?
Is
it jog?
It's a sprint.
It's a sprint.
It's some serious sprint.
Does he run a lot in the film?
No, but...
how would you compare his running to a classic runner in films, Tom Cruise? Always see him running in films, always running.
Tom Cruise is pretty intense, but this...
Tom Cruise loves a run.
He does love a run. he got the right note of the running, he got the right tempo.
Usain Boltish, would you say?
Yeah, the music, I think it was a song. I don't think it's actually part of the score, but I think it was a song. But it mixed perfectly with it, and it just worked really well. So I really, recommend watching that. It's a good, simple watch. It's definitely not excellent, but it's such a good watch. It's so easy, enjoyable to watch. You can watch it any time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like about it. Go on. So basically, what did you watch next?
Another thing. Basically, I don't watch as much films as Ali, as you might know. I watch a lot of TV. I've been watching Geordie Shore. Probably the best programme on TV at the moment.
Can you explain to me and others?
Do you know what Geordie Shore is?
I know what Geordie Shore is.
All the cool kids know what Geordie Shore is. Geordie Shore, basically, they've got eight young people from Newcastle to live in a house together, known as the Geordie Shore House, and the basic premise is they film them 24 hours a day, imbibing them with alcohol, and film them and just see what they get up to. And what they get up to is fight, swear, have sex, scream at each other, cry, laugh, the whole gamut of human emotion in 30 seconds. I love it.
it's based off Jersey Shore, isn't it?
Based off Jersey Shore, okay. Started from America MTV program.
So clearly you have no good taste in it.
I have...
You just dissed me, and you want Jersey Shore or Jersey Shore.
Trashy TV can be watched, can be taken in while eating your dinner, while on the internet, and talking to your friends. If you go to watch a bad film, you have to sit in silence and watch that bad film for 3 hours.
I guess so.
But everyone loves Geordie Shore, so it's not rubbish. It's good because it's like watching your idiotic friend on a night out and having a laugh at it without having to worry about getting them home after. It's all the advantages of knowing idiots without actually knowing idiots.
Okay.
I recommend it.
Okay, next thing I watched was Kill Bill Volume 1.
How recently did you watch that?
Like a week ago.
And how many times have you seen it before you watched it?
A couple of times. I watched it quite a lot when it came out. After it came out, I watched it like tons on Sky Movies or whatever. So,
How did it compare?
So, because I haven't seen it for ages, and I completely love Quentin Tarantino because of Inglourious Basterds.
Really?
Like...
We might need to speak about that.
That could be our next topic then next week or something.
Hate Inglourious Basterds.
Fucking hell, seriously.
Yep, that'll be interesting.
Oh god, I think I might actually not do this podcast with you anymore. There's just no way. Okay, let's fuck that part, right? But, I completely appreciate now what his body of work is now. And I look back, I see, his moment, his dialogue and his saying a scene is just so good and so, because most characters, like in Kill Bill or any, they don't actually talk about what's the motivation or their plot to go somewhere. They do, but they also talk, they just talk in general. And that's what I like. It's just like actual people talking. And that's what that's what Reservoir Dogs does.
You would claim that Quentin Tarantino's dialogue is realistic. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
It is possibly one of the least realistic.
It's
different. We can't get into it.
It's too much. Okay. But one thing is, it's an awesome looking film, because I got it on Blu-ray.
Looks great, yeah.
Yeah.
It does look great. I like Kill Bill Volume 1, by the way. I should say that. I haven't watched it recently. I think the last time I watched it was about a year ago.
But watch on Blu-ray, man, the colours and everything, is shot so well.
Okay.
And this is one thing I'm going to cut to Green Lantern, because Green Lantern looks fucking ugly. I
feel like you love Green Lantern, the amount you speak about it.
I hate it.
You've mentioned it. Every time.
I know because in the review, because I recorded this before, but I'm putting it at the end, I don't mention some things because I was so angry, I couldn't actually articulate everything I thought of. But, so going back to this, you have just great action moments. Uma Thurman is actually pretty awesome in it, and, obviously she's shit in every other movie. when she's not with Quentin Tarantino. But, again, yeah, the music by the 5678s, I've never listened to them before, but even in the movie, they're just awesome. And Sonny Chiba, yeah, he's the guy who makes the blade for her.
Yeah,
he's like a pretty big Japanese actor. He's pretty awesome. So
would you recommend, if people were going to rewatch it, because I imagine most people already watched it, to watch it on Blu-ray. I'm a child. Let's get over it. It's over now.
Okay, but I'll actually take back. I mean, Glorious, but I take that back. That he doesn't have realistic dialogue, but he has. because you used to ask me, did I think it's realistic dialogue?
Yeah, I did ask that.
But what I actually think is it's entertaining dialogue.
Okay, then.
I think that's the difference. It's actually because you stick to it and you want to listen to it. It's like two good DJs. Okay. Clearly, we're not that. But my point is, that's what I liked about it. So, again, if you ever watch Kill Bill, I highly recommend it. I haven't seen Volume 2 yet. I have seen it, but I did enjoy it when I watched it.
But I want to go back to the Blu-ray point.
Okay.
Because I've only ever watched DVDs. I want to know if watching it again on Blu-ray made a difference to you.
I think it does, because...
Does the improvement in technology... Is that a big difference? Should people go out and rewatch their favourite films on Blu-ray?
Okay, if it's special effects movies...
Yeah?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I think Iron Man looks amazing on Blu-ray.
Okay.
That's some,
that Dark Knight mm-hmm. just looks amazing. But I think it is just, it brings something really into the film. Okay. Like, I think, like, Dark Knight mm-hmm. would be the one of the best examples. Like, you know, like, you've seen Dark Knight, right?
I've seen Dark Knight.
Like, yes. The opening shot into the building, right?
Yeah.
The colour in that and the mm-hmm. contrast, everything. It's just, it, you really feel like you're in that film. Like, you, like your eyes, are like, your, it's not, you feel like, you don't feel like you're watching a screen. You feel immersed into it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Blu-ray sometimes does with the quality. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so perfect that you don't, I mean, I know I think about it, but it's because it really makes me enjoy it. It gives me a visceral aesthetic
mm-hmm.
Enjoyment out of the movie.
Okay.
So that's why I like Blu-rays. And but I do specific films. You know, I don't get it from most comedies because they're not shot that well. And it's not about the way they look. It's about what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But action movies have to be... what I mean, not have to be if, mm-hmm. if you want to. But I think Blu-rays do that. So, yeah, I think I'm done talking about my movies that I watched. So, is there anything
else
you want to talk about?
There's nothing else that actually I've yeah. watched. I haven't seen any films recently.
Yeah.
So, no, I think...
We're done, I think.
I think we're done.
Oh, oh
yeah. It's over! 2 hours of your life back! Yeah!
I don't know how long this is, but...
I'm not doing the editing because obviously I've got a life, but hopefully...
No, but no, I basically... just stick it in. I don't
just, just stick it and make it longer. I think you should slow it down so people can hear the words clearly.
Yeah, I mean,
divide it by two.
Yeah, because I did rap in this show basically. Yeah, I talked a bit.
His name is Alec, and he loves films. Okay,
you're black and you can't rap.
Actually, I'm very good at rapping, but
I think maybe that we should the intro that way.
Where can you email us? What's the email address?
Okay. Because we are called the Unnamed Movie Name Podcast, and clearly I don't know how to spell unnamed, is the UNMNP@gmail.com, right?
And, really catchy.
You know, ask us anything, even our personal life stuff. I mean, it's not very interesting, but not...
And there's a blog, is there not?
Well, yeah, but so far, all I'm going to do is post the episodes there.
Okay, then.
If you don't want to listen to iTunes.
Okay, so what's the address of that blog?
That is the same.
Okay.
It's the unmnp.blogspot.com.
Okay. Is there anything else, anywhere else that people can go for information?
I think the best place, actually, both of us, is... our Twitter. I would say, how many people are following me? Oh no, 36, that's it. Not many, but I thought we were 250, like okay, well anyway, that's kind of a downer, but I would say you can follow me on my Twitter account. It's broken_engineer, right? Please ignore my douchey wallpaper.
It looks like a douche.
Yep. But that's the kind of joke I'm going for, I think. And James, you have a Twitter?
Yeah, I've got a Twitter. I mainly talk about TV on it. And it's Nostra Jarmes, and you spell that NostraJames. And you'll
how does
it.
That work as Jarmes? Is it Nostra James?
So, I don't really want to get into this with you. But
I know your name is Jarmes.
It's down to basically how Twitter lets you name your names. You're not allowed to put hyphens in the actual name of your Twitter.
Okay.
So I took the hyphen out of Jarmes. Yeah. But it's in on the...
Oh, but you want to be called Jarmes.
It's pronounced... Go on my Twitter page and you'll see.
I've never been on
you'll,
it, so
you'll go. It makes sense. Okay.
Okay, so that's that. I'm going to leave you with the Green Lantern review with my friend Alex. Hopefully...
I'm not going to be at the end.
No, you're not, because you didn't want to watch
it. Wait. I think we should record something that's only me at the end, just going... I just don't understand why it's called the Unnamed Movie Name Podcast. I think it would be better if it's the Unnamed... Okay,
what do you want to call it?
If anyone's listening... Which they're not. If anyone's listening, would it not make more sense for it to be the Unnamed Movie Podcast? Why is it the Unnamed Movie Name Podcast? Why is that extra name in there? I don't know.
Yeah, but then he doesn't have that. He doesn't
that's,
roll off.
That's the end. Okay, so we can. I want to hear what you think about it. I don't want. I've heard Ali.
The only reason I say is because it rolls off the tongue. That's all.
It rolls off like a retard's tongue.
I'm moving down. Okay, we're done. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Ali, and I'm with my friend, Alex.
That's me,
Alex. Yeah, that's Alex, the white guy. Anyway, we've just watched Green Lantern in 2D, and before I talk about my opinions, I do want to say one thing. Like, you know, critics and everyone have bashed the shit out of this movie before it came out, and you know, that could have affected people's opinions, blah, 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 it doesn't matter, but I'm just saying that is something that I think everyone's aware of when you're going to listen to this podcast. But anyway, I want to know what Alex's opinions are from the beginning, you know, just to churn it out. What do you think, Alex?
Well, because I went into it without any expectations or knowledge of the background. I was just expecting a standard sort of superhero movie. But I liked how it had more depth than your average man gets superpowers, destroys baddies. Had a bit more of, like, the background was obviously important in the film, and I liked that, but
too much
equally,
it was boring. It was that kind of guy. It
didn't hold it well enough. Like, it almost distracted from the fun of it. Because I read, like, some of the reviews. I was trying not to read them, but a lot of the reviews actually just said that it forgot about having fun and being entertaining as a movie. And to some extent, I get where they're coming from, but for the first 10 minutes, I was quite liking it because I was thinking that it had that not the darkness of Watchmen, but when you watch Watchmen, you didn't get any kind of sense of fun. There wasn't much fun going on. They weren't likable characters. Yeah. It was entertaining on its own level, in its own way, and I was hoping for the same from Green Lantern, but I'm not sure that it necessarily delivered that, although I'm still not 100% concluded. I'm still mulling it over. What about you?
Okay, well, you know, I am a Green Lantern fan. He's my favourite superhero. And, you know, I gotta say, yeah, I was disappointed. I mean, there's some bits, you know, I thought the first half was, you know, made me laugh, made me smile. You know, I was like, yeah, okay, you know, it's not great, but it's doing a good job. It's doing okay, you know, like, I can go through this, and, you know, I actually, you know, I like the trailers, even the first one. I mean, okay, it was okay, but it wasn't bad as everybody thought as it'd be, but, yeah, but the second, third trailer got me hyped up. I was like, yeah, I'm really into this, but the issue I really had was, the story was okay, you know, it caught the middle of the road, but man, what it promised, like, epicness, right, and really, it didn't. It felt like a TV movie almost to me, personally. Like, it wasn't shot that great.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from.
I mean, it wasn't shot that great. It was... the direction was fucking poor. Like, you know, it really was. Like, you know, like, it's just, like, why the hell? Like, every time I watch it, it's like, okay, they're about to do something awesome. And then they're cutting, like, 10 seconds. Oh, okay. Too much money going out. You can completely tell that they're running out of money. Like, it's like, you know, and, you know, Thor cost the same. And, okay, Thor, like, had, like, zero action as well. But the thing that Thor had was still a very great, like, a good story with good characters that I really enjoyed. Like, okay, Sinestro was good, but the thing was, he wasn't enough there to really have an impact on the story. He's more of like a plot point. Like,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Like, hey, here's Sinestro. He says something. That's it. It's same with Kilowog, same with Tomare. They're just like, hey, we're saying hi. I mean, that's it. Like, that was the story. Like, you know, with Carol, I like that. She was a bit more fleshed out. I actually loved the bit when, you know, spoilers, but she figures out who, you know, Green Lantern is, Hal Jordan. And it's a great reaction.
It's
something
like...
it's
a great,
like,
scene. Yeah,
it completely,
I like that.
Says, it's completely like a fuck you to every kind of superhero movie when it says, you know, you look at Spider-Man, you look at Superman, you know, like, you know, fuck's sake, Clark Kent has glasses, and people can't tell. You know, I mean, Batman, you know, you can kind of just about figure out. I mean, yeah, Green Lantern done the same trick. He tried to make a scruffy voice, and it worked. Right? And, you know, it was great. You know, they tried to do some fun stuff. But, like, it's
absolutely.
Just...
then what I'm thinking is that it all seemed a bit half-hearted. Like, they had really good ideas, loads of good ideas, but they never really followed through with any one of them, like, sufficiently to make it a full film. It just felt as if everything needed a little more work, and they just didn't have time or money, apparently.
I think they just got tired. It's just like, oh, you know, like, they're pushing to... They're like, yeah, we want to make this awesome film, right? And just, they don't. I mean, like, another, you know, like, again, we're talking about the action. Like, I thought the action was great. Actually, the action in the last bit with Parallax was actually pretty great, but it was only lasted 1 minute. It lasted 1 minute, and that's what pissed me off.
Yeah.
1 minute, like, it's so creative. It's like, hey, he does this catapult thing, this spring thing, like, that's awesome, and then, okay, let's just go. Like, there's no real street fight. I mean, that's what I wanted. That's what it looked like it was going to be.
Yeah.
But they don't. They don't do that at all. Again, the Green Lantern Corp, right? They're meant to be these powerful people. Sinestro as well says, we're fearless, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So when they go and attack Parallax, right, they're not fearless, clearly. They all fucking die. And then Sinestro pussies out and runs away. Yes, Sinestro, you are a fucking powerful man. You are... I mean, you know, again, I'm a Green Lantern fan. And, I mean... But, I mean, I don't know everything. But, I mean, I don't think there's a story where he gets Parallax and whatever, right? But, again, it's just that really pissed me off. Again, it could have been, you know, it could have been really great... But it really just missed the mark. It really, but I know it's
right. Yeah, I mean, the feeling I get just now is that there's nothing in it that it was lacking. Like, it wasn't lacking action, it wasn't lacking plot, it wasn't lacking background, it wasn't lacking special effects. There was nothing that it was lacking, but everything it had wasn't enough. Like, it just, there wasn't enough action, there wasn't enough plot, there wasn't enough background that it was sufficiently fleshed out, like, as you say, with
Sinestro.
You just
contradicted yourself by saying you're lacking. You
but
say you're lacking.
It was. No. It had some, but not as much as it needed. That's not a contradiction. It has everything, just not in sufficient levels. That's the problem.
Yeah,
for me, at least.
I completely
fits in with what you're saying about Sinestro. Like, he's just there every now and again. You're like, okay, who's this red dude with the spiky eyebrows? Like, what's up with him? He seems to be important, but we're not really hearing that much from him apart from him bitching and moaning a bit. And, you know, and he felt like he had a lot more, not necessarily to give, but a lot more that, like, in the stories at least, should have been put forward. And you almost get the feeling it's been the film as a whole was a victim of a lot of cut. Like
Definitely. Oh, definitely. I just thought it wasn't enough fleshing out. Like, you know, I mean, and the problem was, it tried to be cheesy, and I was hoping, happy with that. But yeah. And you know, but it just didn't. Like, you know, it's like the character moments when they really matter. Like Hal Jordan when he gets so easy defeated by Hector Hammond. And now, I mean, we'll talk about Hector Hammond in a bit, because actually, you know, I like that part, but. With Hector, you know, with him, he's just like, he has like two kicks to Hector Hammond, and then he gets beaten. I mean, this guy's been has strong willpower, and like, to be honest, he just looks like another average action guy. He's like, hey, you know, okay, I got beaten up, I'm tired now. I mean, he got more of a beating at the start with those three guys in the parking lot. Like, he got kicked the shit out, and he still gets up. And this, he's just like, oh, I can't handle this.
Now I've been hit by a metal thing, I'm down forever.
Yeah, and he has a suit that's meant to protect him. And, you know, cutting short again, Kilowog scene, the training scene. I mean, it was like 5 minutes. I felt like they're literally 5 minutes an hour. Like, it wasn't like a montage. That's the issue I had. Like, if they even done a sliding, like, shot, you know, like sliding cut, like, whoosh, whoosh, you know, that'd be like awesome. I'm like, okay. Montage. He's picking up. He's like learning in a week, but he learns overnight to be a Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Again, which is fucking stupid, right? So, okay.
Exactly what you say. It feels like he's there for 5 minutes and then goes, oh, no, not so much. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, he's quits. It's like willpower. He's like, they're contradicting their own theory of what it is, right? And, you know, to be honest, okay, I had hope with Martin Campbell. Good director, Casino Royale. I love, you know, I love Zorro. I really love GoldenEye. I think it's better than Casino Royale. So I thought you had it in him.
Mm.
And he just, he turned out crap. But another issue was the script, in my opinion. Like, again, you know, like,
when we're talking about these plot points, again, it's because of script and it's because of writers like fucking Greg Berlanti. Okay, you don't know him that much, Alex, but okay, I only know him from a show that recently, you know, released last year in the US called No Ordinary Family. Again,
I've seen an episode of that. Let's not get onto that,
but okay.
Fantastic.
You liked it?
Yeah,
you liked
it's
it.
It's really funny.
He wrote that fucking thing.
Really?
I hated it. I didn't hate it. I thought it was cheesy, but sometimes it's the same thing that Green Lantern faced. Hey, plot point again. Like they just act because something happens, not because it's the character to do it. Like, yeah. You know, at the start, right? I loved the bit, the fire pilot part, because that is character moment. That is actual character moment.
Yeah,
Hal Jordan is, like, saying, you know, he's clearly a man who will do anything. He has that will, he's that, you know, loose cannon, you know? That's the whole point of him. He's not restricted, and he never feels he has been, right? And then, you know, but then, you know, I mean, okay, the cheesy intercutting with his dad stuff was pretty bad, you know, but let's talk about the bad. The only good thing I really like, actually I loved, right, was Hecthammer, Peter Sarsgaard. That guy was awesome. He really, like, you know, we were initially talking about hamming up. That guy really hammed it up. It was just so, because he knew what kind of film he actually should have been in, and I wish he went for it. And basically what he went in for was a Spider-Man movie. That's exactly what it was, that kind of tone of very campy, but, you know, like, he was like, hello, and didn't, oh, okay. You know, everything he said was very creepy, stupid, but it worked. That actually really worked. It was like, and that's what I wish Green Lantern was. I wish it was a bit more cheesy and campy and really owned that part, you know?
Yeah.
Rather than, like, being half serious and then, oh, you know, it's like, you know, I hate Tobey Maguire and Spider-Man, but still that overall movie works. And that's the thing, actually, I should talk about Ryan Reynolds was actually awesome. Like, yeah, I think if it wasn't 100%. For him, I would have fucking gone mental. Like, I really have, like I said, I have issues with this film, but he was a saving grace, and whoever, as a Green Lantern fan, said, shit, fuck off, because he was awesome. And, and the score was fucking awful. Like, the score.
Yeah,
it was so really tame. It was so tame. And this guy is the partnering music director of Dark Knight.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He's done it with Hans Zimmer. And
that's a surprise.
And he was so fucking shit. It was so beyond shit.
This is the thing, I never felt gripped by it, and that's a bit of a shame, considering those kind of movies have so much potential to grip an audience and be fun and escapist and fantastical, and it just failed to do that. Started quite strong, I think, and showed promise, but then as it picked up momentum and more plot points came in, which they tried to deal with, it just started to fall apart and lose its way, and then they tried to tie it up and it came and ended up a bit clumsy, unfortunately, in my opinion.
You know, that's how I exactly see it, and I'm a bit down, it's because this is my first podcast, right? And this is our first movie review podcast. Okay. Anyway, going back to that, the first podcast, and, you know, and it was my favorite superhero, and, you know, oh, sorry, that's what you're talking about, escapism, right? That's what I want to add. You know, this is why I love Green Lantern. The guy creates anything.
Yeah.
He's just like, he thinks about anything and it happens, right? And he never let that happen.
There wasn't,
like,
enough of that.
Yeah, he was like completely, he wasn't escaped. He was fucking trapped. That's what it felt like. He was completely trapped, and that's why I got, you know, and that's what really annoyed me. Now, okay, so I think we've given our final thoughts, basically.
I think so, yes.
I'm going to give it out a 4-star review, and I would like you to give your out a 4-star review.
Okay.
I was thinking of giving it a 2, you know, because of my, you know, because I cared for it. But I have to give it a 1.5 out of 4. That's what I'm going to give it. Alex?
Yeah, I'd say that was an accurate assessment. I don't know, just as your average moviegoer, I think I didn't feel the absence of all the backgrounds and stuff that you know better. Yeah. So I think a 2 out of 4 for me as a general.
2 out of 4.
2 out of 4.
Well, at least it pleased non-Green Lantern fans. Anyway, that was our first review. Hopefully you enjoyed the review. Even if you're a Green Lantern fan, please don't feel disheartened. I think that a sequel could be promising.
Yes.
If they get a better director. that is genuinely my...
fucking get rid of the writers. You know, so if they do those two things, which are pretty major, then yeah, I think it has potential. Promise. So yeah, so that's me signing off. Hope you enjoyed it. Take care. Bye.
Bye.